How weird is that? The people that are always either early or late to the podcast are the only people here.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't sure we were even doing it. I was trying to figure out the plan because I was thinking about going to see Interstellar tonight.
I've been so out of it. I forgot which nights. Well, I knew it was always Tuesdays, but I didn't know which Tuesday it was.
Yeah, and I always just email Wibs just to ask him because it changes so much. Because they all have real lives.
Really? So. They have real lives?
Well, John does. Jonathan.
That's overrated. He's just got kids, that's all.
Okay, well, I guess that's a real life.
Yeah. You know. It's real in that he has to do things for them. He can't be as self-centered as he was.
Right, I'm making messes, so just ignore me. So, yeah. But hopefully it'll all get sorted. Somebody will be on this thing soon.
Oh, it'll get sorted. John says he's ill and he's not talking.
Oh, that's okay. I hope he feels better.
I don't know. I don't think he's really ill. I think he's just being lazy. But sounds like a boot thing. What did he say?
Or he's got the kids.
Facilitating. Oh, what a big word.
Oh, okay. Someone's been to a conference.
Right.
He's facilitating. He's probably making a little flow chart with like a little dry erase marker of, you know, talking points and all that other stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. That seems right up his alley.
Probably the kind of thing he'd absolutely love doing.
Oh, the worst.
God, if we actually had a moderator to control this, that would be hell.
It'd drive that person insane.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone could do it. I'm not sure that's a job anyone can actually do.
John says it's my new paradigm, however you spell that. Paradimi, parrot dime. I think there's a G in there, John. So
that's okay. He's sick. He forgot the G.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so got flushed out with the
news. Dime. That's John's new handle. Parrot G dime.
Millionaire. He owns a mansion and a yacht.
Right. It's like Uncle Scrooge. Duck, Scrooge McDuck. He dives into his gold.
Oh my god, it's so friggin' cold here.
Is it? What's it like there already? It's only beginning of November.
Well, it's been weird because like the last week it's been like in the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it got like Friday and Saturday night last week, we got our first blast of cold. So it was like 65 in the afternoon and like maybe 40 in the evening, which is all right, but just it was really windy. And then today it's just pretty much just rained, so it's like that, like rain with just cold, a shit ton of wind and just cold and crappy rain. And then we got the daylight savings time, so it's compounded with going
dark
out to the
early.
It's just not much fun. What are you gonna do?
I can understand. Well, I lived in Minneapolis for about 3 years, and that was about long enough. Actually, that was about 2 years too long. So,
did you do the whole Mary Tyler Moore hat thing?
I did not, but I did see the statue.
Yeah, I have not seen the Newhart statue in Chicago, and I haven't found it.
John says we're 25 minutes early.
Oh. Well, I don't know what the hell the time starts.
Yeah, me either. I thought it started at 8.
Yeah, I did too. Huh. Are we on widget time, I guess?
As always. He says, you guys are like 25 minutes early for crying out loud. Okay, going downstairs, back in a few. So that's the latest message from John.
God, what a chef. That's really insincere of him.
I tell you.
Yeah, someone will jump on. I'm not worried.
Yeah, the sucky thing is I'll probably bail because it's only, you know, a little after 5 here. And when Jen gets home, she'll be making dinner. And when she tells me dinner's ready, I'm going to be gone.
Well, yeah, that's kind of important.
I got to go. Me hungry.
You can't really beat that. I mean,
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying.
I know. How's Portland? Do you like it?
Yeah, I have. I've really liked it here. It's, I mean, we've got beautiful leaves. All the leaves and trees are turning right now, so it's beautiful. But it, you know, it's kind of starting to shift into that winter weather where it's gray and drizzly and rainy. But you know, that's just part of the dynamic here. So
yeah,
it's been fine. The summers are great. The winters are very mild and tolerable. I mean, after living in Minneapolis, you know, it's, sure, why the fuck not? But
yeah, you don't get much snow.
I don't think I could live in Chicago or Minneapolis or upper Midwest ever again. It was just, the winters are just so brutal.
As much as I love Chicago, I can't go in, like, I mean, I have to go in a couple weeks, but I'm hoping it's nothing, you know. But it's just like, when it gets winter, it's just cold. I don't know how those people go out. I just don't get it.
Brutal, brutal.
Although last year they didn't have a really tough winter. They had a really mild winter. So.
Well, and you're in what, St. Louis?
St. Louis, yeah.
All right. So you're Central America. You're the, yes, sort of the dead center of the United States.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's cool and, you know, but it's not like Chicago or Minneapolis cold. Ugh.
Well, the humidity is just brutal in the summer.
Yeah.
That's the only
thing. Yeah, I've been to St. Louis, I don't know, a handful of times. We had an office there. Hey, it's Lee.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah, but hey, but Chicago, hello. Chicago is miserable because of that damn wind.
Yes.
And those big damn buildings that just rush by you. Rob, you are sounding like like.
Is that better?
Family.
Is that better?
That's better, yes.
All right. Well, I was leaning back. Here, how's that? Is that better?
Okay, I think that's right. Yeah, that's ever so much better. Yes. Yeah. So. How's everybody doing? Oh, Rob. Oh, my God, Rob. Intruders. I saw what the fuck happened.
I haven't seen the last episode yet.
Oh, you need to see it. It's awesome. Am I
last
here?
Episode of what?
Intruders.
I haven't watched it. I haven't seen any of it.
It's on BBC America. It's
coming out
on
DVD in a couple weeks, but it's basically John Sim and from Life on Mars and Mira Sorvino and Robert Forster, James Frayne. And
James Frank is so damn good in it. Oh,
and it's just a cross between, I don't know what to compare it to. It's just
it is very incomparable. It's written by the Morgan guy and who did X-Files. Darren Morgan is writing. No, Glenn Morgan is writing it, and Darren Morgan is like the showrunner. So you got their weird assness from the X-Files, and they did some of the better X-Files. They did like Fluke Man and the one where Mulder like swaps bodies with a guy and all that. So it's awesome, awesome episodes. And it's just, it's a conspiracy, and it's...
Which one?
Many, many conspiracies and kind of resurrection and kind of, it's just fucking odd, but it was brilliant. I mean, Andrew and I watched it, and we had to like start taking notes to say, okay, what questions do we have now? And none of it got answered, which pissed us off. Not all of it. Most of it didn't get answered. So, yeah. And it's based on a book, which I think I knew, but I was like not reading.
Yeah, it's like a young adult book. I'm like, that's a young adult book?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a young adult book, but apparently they darkened it a little bit. Because apparently they got the cast together and they did a script read through and they're just like, we're going to have to, you know, fix this.
Oh, yeah. So. But it was, wow. And they are very, and the cast was just great. I mean, it's one of those casts that you're just like, they're all just so good.
And James Frayne really makes the whole thing.
He does. He is, and you know him, sir, from Grimm. Didn't you watch Grimm?
I watched the first season. Well, I watched about half of the first season, and then I couldn't get into it.
Okay, well, he was the royal prince that was not the captain.
Okay.
It was his brother. Yeah. So you've seen him in that, and you've seen him in other stuff. He's actually on a lot of stuff if you start looking him up. But he's always kind of that secondary part that you're just like, damn, he kind of steals the screen. Mm. So, yeah. And the show itself, it is very difficult to describe the show other than compelling. You watch we watched episodes like 2 and 3 times and still weren't sure what the fuck was going on. So.
And that's part of the reason why I need to spend a little more time with it.
And I'm hoping they're going to do, and they did it really well. I mean, they only did, what, 6, 8 episodes? 6?
Yeah, but they're done with the book, so I don't know if they do a whole second season, how they're going to do that.
Oh, I haven't heard if
they're doing another one or not.
Oh, if there's not
No, it's just a one book.
Oh, man. Well, they did a very good job with it. That's all we ever did. They did that. Just, I'm still. Oh.
Now, it could also be a series of books where the second book isn't out yet.
Yeah, maybe. I'll have to look that up somewhere. Oh my god.
But either way, I think it needs a panel.
Yeah, and it's just it'll have a panel again. I had a panel last time on it. We'll have it again. Also, since all of us actually know this. Oh my god, I hate Florida State right now. I have lost all respect for Jimbo Fisher.
Why?
All. Okay, I'm sorry. Your quarterback has allegations of sexual assault.
Which one?
Didn't have enough evidence to
be prosecuted. That does not mean that it does not have enough evidence to be called that in a university, and he's going up for that. Second of all, he did stand up in the cafeteria and say terrible things. He did shoplift crab legs. And you're going to explain to me that there are numbers 1 through 2,000 of signed items, but he didn't make any money from that.
Yeah, you know, I haven't talked to you since the Gamecocks game.
Oh, yeah, Mizzou. Hey, look, I'm thrilled Florida beat Georgia. I'd rather Mizzou go and be the SEC East champ than that. I'm sorry. And, sir, with the 2,000 signatures thing, 3 days is all they needed to say, oh, yeah, no, he didn't get any money from it? It took Georgia 2 weeks to investigate Gurley.
He signed at baseball games. He signed for an hour and a half before games and an hour after games. Anything that people handed him.
Uh-huh.
And there's 40 baseball games in a season.
Uh-huh.
There's pictures all over the internet of him signing.
And he made no money from this.
Yeah, he doesn't. Uh-huh. What?
But the items that the guy has that he was selling through his sports shop.
Well,
bullshit. Serve bullshit.
Well, I think the big problem.
Oh, because Jadeveon Clowney didn't do it when they found all the items that he had signed?
No, he signed after.
Yeah, he did. I think Vicky did.
I don't think that's accurate. You need to check that.
I'll check it, but you know what? It wasn't his fourth issue either. And it only took the university 3 days to investigate? Come on.
They asked him point blank, and he said no. What are you going to – I mean – no one's alleging that he was paid. No one came forth and said they paid him for this stuff. And that's why the Georgia issue came forward, is because a merchandise dealer said that he had paid Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And that's why the university had to investigate it.
Okay.
No one's alleging that anyone paid Jameis Winston. And I guarantee you he signed more than 5,000 things. Without. There's pictures of him before baseball games at Florida State and after baseball games. Every game he would sign for an hour before and after. If you're sitting there taking something and signing it for an hour before and after a game, you can sign 400 things in one game.
Okay.
I guarantee you that he signed more than 5,000 items and never received a dime, because it all happened at the university in public view.
Okay. That we know. Look, I'm just saying four times and it only taking 3 days to investigate is a bit much.
Well, it is Florida.
And Jameis Winston is the only college athlete to ever be sat for a game for cursing in public.
Sir, he didn't just curse in public.
Yeah, what he said is he fucked her right in the pussy, which is an internet name that's all over the internet to begin with.
Right, and wow, with his other history, that's what you want to go with?
I agree that it's not in good taste, but you know what? Did he commit a crime to do that? No. Did he do something a stupid college kid would do? Yes. Is he in the spotlight, and did he pay a price because of it? Absolutely. And you know what? He's the only college athlete to ever sit for a game because he cursed in public.
And you know what? At some point, because he is the only college athlete to have that kind of scrutiny on him, somebody needs to sit him down and say, listen, son, enough. Yeah. They have now, finally.
No,
they should have done it last year. They didn't. They did not. They took their time to do it. And Jimbo Fisher constantly saying, oh, I know he hasn't done any of this stuff, when he has done it. When three of those things, we have at least two of those four things, we have at least a lot of questionable information on. Come on. This is ridiculous.
Maybe he received money for signing stuff. I can guarantee you he signed just as many things without getting any compensation for it. So that's, if you can prove that he got paid for signing stuff, he got paid. If you can't prove it, I don't know what to tell you.
Regarding the sexual assault
allegations, I wasn't there. You weren't there. Mm-hmm. There's only two people that know what happened.
Right. You're exactly
one says it did, one says it didn't.
But at the same time, I think the problem with him is that if it was just the autographs thing, no one would care.
Right.
But it's just this compounding thing building up.
And every time you turn around, there's something else.
Deion Sanders.
This is four.
Was talking to him about sort of like, hey, this is how you got to do. This is what you got to do. And he he just basically just blew him off. So I think the problem he's got is that even if he is a sincerely, not trying to mess anything up, he's got such an ego that it just rubs people the wrong way. But I think the problem is that he's got so much stuff on him that people are just giving up on him.
Well, the other issue is there, and you're exactly right, sir. Had the only thing he'd done, or the only thing he'd ever been accused of, either been the autographs or the cafeteria thing, okay, whatever. But when you compound those, and especially, with the cafeteria thing, the issue that bothers me is especially after last year and everything that went down.
Yeah, I can agree. The insensitivity is the key on that one. The fact that he's not aware of once you've been accused of sexual misconduct, whether it's proven or not, you need to keep your nose clean when it comes to that. And you really can't say that kind of thing in public, where, in this day and age where everybody has a phone that's going to record you doing it. So
that's a problem. Well, the other issue is that he doesn't even, the point is that he, much like other players who are at that level, I'm sorry. Yes, they are at a different level of scrutiny, right, wrong, or indifferent. And you need to be thinking about that. And he's not.
And that Jimbo is
just totally, totally kissing that off irritates the fuck out of me.
Wait a second. Jimbo's not just blowing that off. After the Notre Dame game, he grabs Winston and he tells him, now's the time you be calm. Don't go over the top. Be calm. Eat humble pie. Humble pie. Think humble. I don't see how Jimbo's just looking the other way. If Jimbo's looking the other way, he doesn't tell him, settle down. Don't act like a clown in front of the cameras. Don't blow this up. Just be humble. If anything, he's doing what a good coach is supposed to do. He's coaching the young man on how to act, how to behave, and the young man takes his lead.
But the issue there is he hasn't done that this season.
And he just did it. He did it in front after the Notre Dame game.
Okay, well, let's see if it holds for the rest of the season.
You have to.
I'm sorry, but I will let Rob have his happy moment on Mizzou, which Carolina, I get to go back to my younger years and say, wait till next year, we'll be better.
At least the Missouri-Carolina game was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we would have lost, I wouldn't have felt bad, because at least it was a close game.
Yeah, and it was a well-played game.
Yeah, because I didn't, I didn't get a phone call in the first quarter going, oh, it's 57-0, like it is if we play like Alabama or something. So.
Well, that was my thing for the Auburn game. I had already, like, everybody was like, so it's going to be a great game with Auburn. I'm like, no, it's going to be a shitstorm with Auburn. I'm just hoping we lose by less than 20. You know, that's why I wasn't upset about the Auburn game. I'm like, we lost, yeah, but we only lost by one touchdown. We didn't play well, so hey, I'm pretty happy. But I was thrilled that Florida beat Georgia this week. Sorry, Madman, I know you're listening. Sorry, but I was thrilled because I was like, dear God, I would rather have Mizzou be leading this SEC East than Georgia right now.
But they both beat the hell out of my team. SEC East is an absolute shambles.
Oh, it is a Oh God, yeah. The SEC West has got a lot of powerhouses, but it's going to be interesting, too, in the next couple of weeks, too.
I'm not buying Mississippi State. I'll buy Auburn. I'll buy Alabama. But I'm not buying Mississippi State.
I'm kind of stunned by Mississippi State, but we'll see. I don't know.
It'll
shake a soft schedule.
Ooh, is this football talk?
Yes.
I'm coming back.
Oh my god, two women on. After all these weeks, they haven't had women. Yay!
I've been on. Where have you guys been? I miss you.
You haven't been here for the past 2. I know. I've been missing my boys. I had to come on this week. Finally the fever broke around 4 o'clock. So thank God.
What fever? What's wrong? Are you ill?
No, I'm fine. I just had a low-grade fever, and, you know, as soon as you have that, that means you're passing some germ around, so you stay home.
Oh.
That's why you should have stickers. And Rox is doing her nails.
No, I'm sanding cigar boxes.
It sounded like she was doing her nails. That was, like, the girliest thing I could think of.
Yeah.
So, hi, Witch!
Hi.
Hey.
Yay! So, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good. Hang on. I got to do a quick mic check. Okay, got it.
There you go.
What you drinking?
I have an Orkney Skull Splitter.
Skull Splitter.
Well, I am drinking a 100th Meridian, which was the beers that were given to us at Dragon Con by our lovely, lovely Canadian friend.
Ah.
Okay.
Big Twits and, oh God, why can't I remember her name? I feel really bad. Sorry.
I don't remember
Big Twits.
I just always, in my head, I just think of them as Team Canada. So.
Yeah.
Go Canada.
Rob, are you on a real computer?
Yes.
Yay. I always wondered what that thing was in that other room.
So,
well, the operating system is really crap, so we have to get a new one.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm not a Mac person, but someone else is. So
I know. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Rob, good for you. I'm so proud of you. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Fruit cult.
If it helps, Lee, I'm actually going to wind up getting one of each, so I'm going to be straddling both sides of the canyon.
Wow.
I think we'll love you for that way.
Well, just because, Rox, just because I'm like, I have so much audio and video stuff that I'm doing. I totally need a Mac.
Yeah.
Just because what's crazy is I'll look up, well, how do I do such and so? How do I do this thing? And it's like, it'll say, well, on a Mac, you just do this. But if you're using anything else, here's this Cirque du Soleil bend over your backwards thing.
Yeah.
But you like Cirque du Soleil, so enjoy that.
No, but see, that's not me doing it. That's me paying to sit in a seat and watch someone else do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Gotcha. I can't afford to have anyone else edit my stuff.
All right, this is my desktop area. It's a mess. Look at that.
Yeah, it's a mess.
I know. I got to clean
but
it.
That's okay.
That's fine. Everybody should have a couple of messes. Is Boutel on, or did he just like
John is sick?
Ill. He doesn't want to talk.
He's got a licensed ill, and so he is using that license to convalesce.
Well, that's okay, nice.
Well, Widge.
Yeah.
Widge.
Yeah.
Walking Dead is going to break my heart this season. I can already tell.
Well, now let's see. I am caught up through. If we want to have that discussion, I've seen episode 3. I've not seen Slabtown yet. This last episode of this week.
You didn't miss shit on that, so it's all right. That was a bad episode.
Well, we'll talk about we'll talk about a bad episode here in a minute. But
what are you talking about, Widge?
What's that?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about episode 5, The Front of the Blacklist.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. But first, Walking Dead. Can I just say that I am so pleased that we got, and spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it yet through episode 3, we got Tainted Meat. I was waiting for Tainted Meat.
Tainted Meat was awesome, but why does it matter?
What do you mean, why does it matter?
Well, they've already got the virus in them. We all have the virus in us at this point.
No, I know, so... but it's still sort of disgusting. It's just
still massively disgusting. You're already cannibals.
But as they said, as the guy said, what's going to happen to us? Because there's a big difference between having the virus in you. Because here's the thing: if just having the virus in you would kill you, they'd all be dead. What happens is the zombie bite accelerates the virus and kills them. So the idea is, would eating infected flesh accelerate it and kill you? And we never get to find out.
I just have to say, Widge.
Yeah.
My love of Carol. Oh, my God. Because I haven't been on since Walking Dead came back. Oh, my God, Carol.
I know, the Carolnator. The Carolnator.
Oh my God, I love that woman. My girl crushed boner just, went from like.
See, here's the thing. She's like Andrea from the comics times 10.
And that's why I'm saying my heart's going to be broken because nobody gets that fucking awesome and doesn't die in this show. So I know that's going to happen.
Well, here's what I thought they were doing, because episode 2, when they were building up Bob before they revealed his thing, and it occurred to me they did the same thing in the comic. Kirkman is a master, as I've said before, of ending an issue and then leaving you hanging and coming back 30 days later and completely subverting your expectations, which I love about it.
Yes.
But you had Bob, in the comic it was Dale. It happened to Dale.
Oh, and really?
Yes, and so Dale was there, and you get the reveal of him missing the leg, and then it's only in the next episode that same thing, they're talking to him, and you think he's upset, and then he's laughing at him, calling, you fucking idiots, I'm tainted meat. So
Wait, so Dale was in Terminus?
Yes.
No, there was no Terminus in the comics.
Oh, there was no Terminus in comics.
No, basically.
They were cannibals. Oh,
Yes, basically hunters. What you spent episodes 2 and 3 watching, that was hunters, which was where the cannibals came from, which is why I was concerned that Terminus didn't make any sense, and I really liked the hunter storyline, and they did it. They basically did it. So I was very pleased with that. But basically, I thought that because they did the whole – they did that thing I hate about shows where we're about to kill this character. They're a secondary character. We should build them up so it feels tragic when they die. They were really doing that with Bob. And
we'll see, they were. And I think the other thing about Bob, too, is there was something about Bob that maybe –
something about Bob.
What about Bob, Lee?
Yeah, what about Bob?
But there was something about Bob, as in he was kind of the everyman. He was the one trying to be a lot like Glenn in many, many ways of, you know, we're still this kind of a group. We're still the people that are going to let him out of that big train car, even though, you know, we're still the good people.
Well, and even more than that.
That with Bob was that. And then, oh, my God, and poor Sasha.
But here's the other thing about what I liked about Bob's character was they already established last season where he came from, that he had seen two groups evaporate, and he had been alone for so long. He was so fucking happy to just be around anybody that I really liked that. But here's what I thought they were doing, is they did that awkward buildup so badly on Bob that when we saw Carol by herself by the car, I went, oh, fuck, they just faked me out and they're about to take down Carol? Holy shit. But they didn't.
Well, see, my issue is with Carol. All right. As we well know, it is not all I want at the end of the apocalypse. But I really, really do. I am a Carol Daryl shipper, which is called Carol, which is actually the way they spell it. It's kind of funny. I just found this out actually on Fandom, but I am a big Carol Daryl shipper. And when Daryl like saw Carol and he went and he like picked her up and hugged her, oh my God, I was crying. Oh my God.
I figured you probably fainted.
I wasn't fainting. It was really hard though. I was like fanning my face. Because, my God.
Well, I will say the first episode was, which you weren't on to talk about, but was amazing. The second episode, not so much, because here's the other problem I had with the second episode. While the whole flooded basement idea was great, they have been at this two. What in the world was that?
Not me.
I went home. I went.
Oh, okay. That was like the cosmic ohm. They have been at this too long to go into a flooded basement and not think, hey, because my whole thing was there could be zombies crawling around under the water that you will not see. They have been doing this too fucking long to go in there like that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that was actually I thought the flooded basement was a bit much, and there were other ways around it that they didn't have to do it that way.
But it would have been so easy to just go in and like, I'm like, you've already established the street's pretty much empty. You could find something long and just sweep the water to make sure that nothing's coming at you. You know, there was no planning involved, which I thought, which could have been fixed either by establishing, no, we've got to get the fuck out of here for X reason, or, like I said, no, we need to get down there and out for X reason, something. But
but still the second episode, you know, there were all these wonderful little moments that are there. But okay, so Teamlet and I were actually having a discussion about Tyrese.
Oh, Tyrese, I was about to say, is this have we changed topics or okay, Tyrese?
No. Oh, we watch it all as a family over dinner. It's awesome. But Tyrese. Why is Tyrese having a problem? Is it all about the girls, and that's why Tyrese is having a problem killing things now?
I'm not sure. I think it's a combination of stuff. I think it's between his reaction to Karen's death and having seen all of the death that he's seen, and then on top of that, the girls.
Yeah.
I think it's just a bit much because he says to Rick, it killed me. Getting here killed me.
Yeah.
And Rick is like, no, it didn't. And so I was just amazed that Martin, that was the big surprise for me at the end of episode two, is when you see Martin, the guy who he was beating the shit out of.
Oh, alive. No, I knew he wasn't dead. No, I knew he wasn't dead. I knew he wasn't dead as soon as Tyrese wouldn't let Carol go in the house.
Well, I just figured he had torn him the fuck apart because that is what Tyrese is capable of doing.
Oh yeah.
And I especially thought, considering the dude had threatened Judith, which is Tyrese's, like, you know, number one priority at this point is helping keep Judith alive. I'm like, yeah, he probably tore that guy. So when I saw him alive, and then when he got killed, I'm sure he must have been thinking, God damn it.
I got out of this once. I know that sounds really awful. I loved the death scene for all of them because you saw that guy, he was like, I got an option. And all of a sudden, the ginger guy is like, try it. No, you don't. And I'm like, yes, motherfucker.
Well, see, that's basically out of the comic. The one thing I liked that wouldn't have worked in the television show that they did in the comic was Rick goes out by himself and they're in the backyard of some house because, again, mm-hmm. Father Gabriel knows where they are. Yeah. And they say, he says, so here's your last chance, walk away or we're going to basically fuck you up. And the guy who is not Gareth in the cut, he's got a different name. But
Abram. What? Gareth.
No. One of the hunters who is basically Gareth in the television show.
Okay.
The leader says, no, sorry, we're never going to stop. We're going to get you eventually. And at that point, that's when Andrea, the sniper, takes off one of his fingers. And then everyone comes out of the shadows. And then they were like, no, no, really, we'll leave you alone. And Rick's like, no, you said you were never going to let us go. So sorry, we have to kill you now. And you don't even see them butchering them. You just see Father Gabriel's horrified face as Michonne, Tyrese, Andrea, and Rick have at them. And it's brilliant. But this is brilliant too. Yeah.
This was brilliant because, I mean, you know, the machete thing and, oh, the red-handled machete and then Michonne getting her katana back. I was so happy. But, oh, yeah, my God.
Called that. I'm
happy. Oh, yeah.
Called
of course she's going to get that back. We knew we were going to get that back. But I just – I am – this season is the first time I've watched it in real time.
Right.
And I need more episodes faster.
I understand. Well, what I love too about Michonne getting her katana back is that the way she got it back, it was basically when she unsheathed it, it was that feeling of, oh, fuck you. You know, it's like, this isn't over. I'm not done with you. Fuck. Which is something from the comics as well. So I was very happy with how episode 3 happened. And I'm curious to see about episode 4 since you weren't pleased. Wait. Were you not pleased because there was simply no Carol or Daryl or any chance of, and therefore if they were in it, no chance of them getting it on? Is that why you were disappointed?
That was not. It was actually one of my least favorite characters who I honestly should have been eaten a long, long fucking time ago. And
Carl? Is it Carl?
No, it's not Carl. I don't think Carl should be eaten. Carl's much better than he used to be.
Yes.
Actually, it was Beth. It's a Beth-centric episode. I mean, you saw that from the preview.
Right.
There's that. It actually, the whole episode has so many damn holes in it that it doesn't make any sense. Mm. And so through the whole thing, you're like, what? Why? No, that's dumb. I mean, it was that kind of thing. The other thing is Eugene. I do not know. I've not read the comics, as I think we all know. But Eugene. Seriously, he is so full of bullshit. No. He knows nothing. Nothing. No. No. And somehow he's gotten Abraham or whatever his name is, ginger guy, because that guy is so desperate for somebody to have a cure or to bring back civilization. But, oh my God, no. No, he doesn't know anything. Am I right or wrong or what?
I'm afraid I can neither confirm nor deny that theory.
Okay. Do you agree with me from a show perspective that you think Eugene is a tool?
Oh, I think he's a tool, but...
Oh, good. Okay.
But I do think that he knows something because he's a smart guy in that, for example, in the bit where you had... They were going through, it was Glenn and what's her face from Woodbury going through the tunnel. What? And basically he led them on a slight wild goose chase to time when they would show up at the end of the tunnel to come help them. You know? So,
I think he's a tool. I think also because you saw it when he was in the church. When they're like, it's time to go, and he's like, I don't wanna. I mean, it was like, oh, he wants to be a part of a family and a group, but yeah.
But as he's stated, he can't defend himself worth a damn, as he demonstrated by taking out their truck when he first appeared. So.
Well, I mean, I love the scene as they're trying to get out of Terminus, and I think he's beside Michonne or somebody, I can't remember. And all of a sudden, he does that, you know, like cartoon character woman going, ee, when she sees a mouse. And he does that flail with his arms as they're running through the streets and there are zombies and people shooting. And I'm just like, and the other person, I thought it was Michonne, I can't remember, pushes him out of the way so they can kill a zombie for him. I mean, it was freaking hysterical. To see him, like, do that. That was just great. And, oh, my God, though. But I'm just – and Judith, I think I'm the only person on the podcast right now who has a child. That is the quietest baby in the whole wide world.
Although, when it is making noise, it is fucking terrifying. That is the whole reason. No, listen. One of the scariest zombie moments I have seen ever. And I have seen a shit ton of zombie stuff.
Yes, you know.
This is why I want to buy Chad Coleman a beer, is because I'm like, Chad Coleman is Tyrese.
Oh, okay, cool.
He's playing Tyrese. I'm like, okay. You got stuck, and this is last season when it was just him and the two girls and Judith.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, you got the short end of the stick, buddy. Holy yeah. shit. But there's a scene, I've mentioned this before, where he's changing her diaper, and she's crying out in the middle of the woods, and there's zombies everywhere, that I was crapping myself in fear. Because you can't do anything. You literally, unless you go finale of MASH, you can't do anything. Thank you, Rob.
You're exactly right.
That moment, Rob. There was that moment. Yes. Where everyone who has seen the finale of MASH went, oh my God, are they gonna? They can't. No, surely they can't.
What? No. No, they can't do that.
Yeah, at the time was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Well, and it's But my God, no.
So I will.
But I think it's gonna break my heart, Widge. It's gonna break my heart.
I'm sure it is, because they've got to kill somebody we like. I mean, there's a ton of characters, and some of them have got to go. And we don't know who yet. And honestly, apart from, I would say Judith is safe, and probably Carl is safe. And I don't even think ultimately Rick is safe, even though the story is about Rick and Rick's and everybody's journey. But you could get rid of Rick if you needed to. I don't think they're going to right now. I think he's sort of safe right now. But I think you could lose anybody at this point. And that is why it is so terrifying. And that is why I could just see them building up Carol into the Carolnator, and then she basically gets taken out by the hunters.
I know.
And I thought, God, that is gonna be the ballsiest thing ever if they do this right.
Oh. Yeah. No, after you see the next episode, we'll have to quickly IM each other on Twitter or whatever, because I think I have a total idea of who is behind Daryl right now from that end part where he came back and he come out now. Yeah. Did you see it, Rob? Did you see episode 4? Were you like me with this? Why are you all doing this and X, Y, and Z? Because all of that didn't make any damn sense.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think they should combine The Walking Dead with the new Geico chainsaw commercials. It would be funny.
I just basically at this point I would never buy Geico because their commercials annoy the shit out of me to the point where I would rather pay extra not to know I'm supporting that nonsense. But can I just say, since you've since you've just revealed that during episode 4 we don't find out who's behind Daryl.
Sorry, no.
Yeah, see, that's people don't realize the spoilers they give off.
Sorry.
I have a theory. I would like this to be true, but I doubt it. Since so here's my theory, and again, there are bits and probably revealed in episode 4 that I don't know yet, but I can see if basically they're following this car, assuming the car goes to where Beth is, which is not a given, that at some point entering into the city of Atlanta, which is I believe where they are, they would go, okay, we need to stop. Carol goes someplace safe where she can keep an eye on what the fuck's going on, and Daryl heads back. Who I would love for that to be is the head gangbanger from season 1, the gang that basically went to the guy's grandparents' old folks' home to defend it against the zombies. Yeah. Remember that?
That would be very, very cool. I would not disagree with that. That would be very, very cool, too.
I have a fairly crazy idea, but no, never mind. I'll wait.
No. If it's as long as it's not a spoiler for episode 4, share it.
I am under the weird idea that just maybe it might be the governor.
What?
Well, the governor's dead.
He's dead, completely dead. We saw him die.
Didn't we see him in the one episode walking by?
He's dead.
No, he's dead.
Okay. Because there's the one episode where they saw something going, unless it was a flashback and I misread it. But there's the one episode, there's something going on, and you see him walking by, so.
No, he's dead. We saw him die on the field.
Yeah, Michonne stabbed him, and then his girlfriend shot him in the head.
Yep.
Yeah, but I remember he was at the prison watching them when they were leaving after that. There was a little clip of that afterwards.
I don't know that you're caught up.
I'm caught up.
I think that was the van and now thing.
I remember that, but I thought I saw him in something after that. But
no, I don't think so.
Or I'm just getting the episode order wrong in my head.
I don't think so. We saw him die. Now it could be that. It could obviously be Morgan. If Morgan is going to show up this early, which I don't know about.
Morgan would be a cool one, but I think I just have this feeling about Morgan because of what they said. See, I kept wondering, you know, who was making the symbols on the trees for him to follow.
Well,
and I thought maybe they'd always been doing that, and then the Terminus people kind of said, oh, yeah, we were doing that, although why are we going to go back there?
Right.
So I kind of think that Morgan's the one sometimes when they're feeling somebody watching them that is not the Hunter people, it's Morgan. Because he's not sure I want to join him.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. That's true. I mean, Crazy TV Morgan could be a loner enough to think, do I actually want to hook up with these people? That is true.
I think Crazy Morgan, I mean, I think he's gotten to the point of, you know what, I can't stay there anymore, but yet I'm not sure I'm ready.
Well, that's true. And I don't know. I just think that most shows need Lenny James, so I'm the show he was in with Mark Strong that lasted one season, Cold Winter Sun, I think.
I put all my shows together and I'm like, every show needs BJ Britt, who plays Trip on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Every show needs BJ Britt, every show needs Mr. Morgan, every show, you know. I could take Tyrese in almost probably every show right now.
Yeah, I think basically, I'm amazed that more Wire alum aren't getting huge amounts of work. As I said at one point, I can't think of his name.
I think they are starting to, though. More and more, if you start looking around, they are in more and more shows. I think they had to get a couple of years away from that show for some of them.
I don't know why, but I think they did. That's possible. And it is Clark Peters. So I was the one who said, and I'm still not convinced that we can't kickstart this, is I want a film that stars Idris Elba, Morgan Freeman, Clark Peters, and
Brock Peters. All live together.
And Bernadette Peters is their crazy neighbor lady.
Look, I kind of keep having the idea in my head of Charlie's Angel swapped on its head, and Charlie is a woman, and she's got, like, you know, Idris Elba and Tyrese and somebody else, maybe BJ Britt as, you know, the Angels. That would be awesome. I don't know who'd Bosley be, but those three as the Angels would be fucking awesome.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, it was Morgan Freeman, Idris Elba, Lenny James, and Clark Peters. I said, I don't care what they do. They can literally sit and have coffee and chat for an hour and a half. I'm totally fine with that. I would pay.
That would be fun.
And what I loved about this is that I tagged Idris Elba and Clark Peters because they're both on Twitter. And Clark Peters retweeted and said, is anyone watching this?
Please, God.
I'm like, yeah. Yes, please.
The other one, Widge, that I think is safe, at least for another season,
yeah,
is Daryl.
Quite possibly.
Way too much of a fan favorite to kill off until, just way too much of a fan favorite. You can't kill him off right now.
Now here's the thing. Rob, you heard about the Kickstarter that raised $70,000 to have Kenny Loggins play in some guy's living room, right?
Okay. Oh,
yes.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Basically, he was selling seats. You could get a seat for Kenny Loggins and two of his band musicians to come and play an acoustic set. I don't know.
Kenny Loggins?
Hey, Rob, some people just want to go to the danger zone, you know?
I was going to say because someone's mama doesn't dance and your daddy can't rock and roll.
Danger zone.
I mean, Rob, you know what? They're all right.
Hey.
Nobody has to worry about them.
Nobody has to worry about them. But I'm just saying there is precedent for basically going to famous people and going, what would it cost to do this? What would it take for you to do this?
Jeff Spicoli blew his reward money from saving Brooke Shields and blew it on having Van Halen play his birthday party.
Wait, what? Who saved Brooke Shields?
Jeff Spicoli.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. It took me a second.
At least three of those people are pretty much jobbing actors. That are really seriously jobbing actors. So.
I know. It's possible.
You know, there's a possibility there.
Yep.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm sorry, because I'm catching up on it. Not watching this show this season, oh my God, hurry up and watch this.
It's really good. Now where are you in the progression?
I'm totally caught up.
So I've seen through last week. Obviously, this week I have not seen yet because it's happening even as we speak.
I put it on Twitter. The last couple of episodes have reminded me of why I just kind of like fell in heart in Greater Than Three with Director Coulson, Agent Coulson, because he was such a stone cold badass in the last two episodes that it was just like, oh my God, you're awesome.
So, here's the thing, is that and again, spoilers for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but between this and what's the other place where we've seen? Oh yeah, Blacklist. Can we just outlaw the use of regular handcuffs now?
My God.
Because apparently, thumbs aren't what they used to be, and you can get out of handcuffs really fucking easily. Why don't we have the full-on, right out of Marvel Comics, covers up the hands completely cuffs? Why? Why don't we have those?
Well, they had those in Frozen, and I don't know why they don't have them in, you know, Disney could fucking do them. I would have
been. Shield. Owned whole subsidiary of Disney.
That's animated, Lee. You can draw them. You can just draw them, Lee.
Well, CGI, you can do anything.
That's fantastic. Although my understanding is the live action Elsa is in Once Upon a Time this season, so
yeah.
And I will also say that if you ever want to be the overindulgent aunt or uncle, taking a kid to a Disney on Ice thing. I took my niece to Disney on Ice Frozen. Dear God in heaven, Disney knows how to put that damn production value in there. That child did not move for an hour and a half, and Disney got about $100 in the crap.
That
they could combine the Elsa on ice with the baby scene at the end of MASH, they would be on to something.
You know what? Here's what I want.
Wow.
Rob, here's what I want. I want Elsa to be Elsa Lanchester from Bride of Frankenstein.
No.
Yes! Yes! Which, did I mention this? I did not put two and two together, Rox. I did not realize she was playing the Miss Marple character in Murder by Death.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow that completely escaped me, and Murder by Death is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
How'd you miss that?
Because I don't know, because sometimes, you know, the neurons just don't fire like they used to.
That's weird.
You didn't have enough coffee that day.
It's Widge logic. Widge logic.
Okay. So what happened on... Okay, so Blacklist broke your heart recently or just got...
Okay, first of all, can I just say... Now, you would especially would appreciate this, Lee.
Okay.
Because let me just say, can we just have a moratorium on television series doing half-assed outbreak contagion episodes?
Oh my god!
Don't know shit about shit. When I'm sitting there and I know more about epidemiology than you do, something is wrong. I have a degree in English. I'm a buffoon. I know shit about shit. All I know is the stuff that I've read and seen in other movies that are smarter than yours.
Yeah.
So let me just say that maybe I'm crazy. Now, at one point. But see, here's the thing. So basically the idea is that that there is and spoilers for Blacklist, but don't worry, you're not missing anything. I am one episode away from basically just going onto YouTube and waiting for someone to edit out all the James Spader bits from the season into one 25-minute long episode and just watching that shit and calling it good.
And just watching all the
James, I know, and you know what? I want Paul Rubens back. That's how that is. It's like
after my tirade
about Paul Rubens.
After we had our whole tirade about you not liking Paul Rubens.
No, I like Paul Rubens, but
in the show.
Yeah, the show.
So anyway.
So basically Rox, you just want the James Spader part and the Paul Rubens part.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
That's a hell of a joke.
I think the two of them. I want a spin-off of The Blacklist where it's just the two of them and Dembe, and they just go off and fight and or create crime.
Or what's her name? You know what? I want to see her. Aww. What is her name? The cleanup.
Oh, Mr. Shit. What's her name? She's fantastic.
Professor Plum. No, that's
almost. Mr. Kaplan.
Yes.
He's fantastic.
Yes.
So anyway,
I just want
to wait. All right,
like,
so keep going.
Oh my
so
god,
this is
like a Murder She Wrote with her in it.
So basically, Lee, here's the setup. There is a cult that an eco-terrorist cult that is going to wipe out mankind using a plague. A 700-year-old strain of pneumonic plague that was basically, according to the show, and I don't know, supposed to be the real.
From Dan Brown. I've seen it. I've read it.
Or Tom Clancy. I think he had a story about trying to.
Well, if we're thinking about the same thing, sir, that was Rainbow Six, which was actually pretty cool.
Rainbow Six was a great book. I agree.
I just wanted more of Rainbow Six. I'm like, fuck Ryan. Give me more of this shit. This is awesome.
Well, it's not like he wrote anything in the last 15 years anyway.
Well, he has been dead for a couple of years, sir. So we got to
give one, I think. Just 1 year, right?
Well, I don't remember. Anyway.
Wait,
but
Tom Clancy's dead?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 Oh, it's well.
Some nonfiction stuff, sir.
No. Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched news in a year.
Well, you're total, sir. You totally called it. He died almost a year ago. So.
Yep. Yeah. There you go.
Wow.
So anyway.
And with that, I'm gonna go eat dinner. So fuck all of you. No, I love you all very much, and I've missed you very much, and I'll be back next time.
Great. Right. Thanks, sir.
Tell Dr. Jen, I still have the The jam, it's so good.
Oh, okay, great. We're glad you're enjoying it.
Sir, the Oktoberfest isn't as good as it was last year.
I would say it's just as good as it was last year, but it's not as good as it was 2 years ago.
But it's still good.
Yeah,
it's still good.
I'm still enjoying it.
Don't get me wrong. I just did not. Although, I have not enjoyed it as much as I have in the past.
And serves one last thing that he's going to throw in. Yeah. I picked up the blonde Guinness lager.
Yeah, oh. How was that?
It's fine. It's harp, isn't it? It's just harp.
I would think it would be.
Yeah.
But that thing in Alaska they're using to try to alter the weather?
Yeah.
No, I think that's a different harp altogether.
Oh, okay. All right.
See you guys.
Bye.
Anyway, so basically they're going to get this plague.
Oh my God.
Supposedly the Black Death, by following a map that you can get by putting a black light onto a piece of 14th century
vellum
or something.
And
basically digging up the bones of somebody who died of this, whose DNA would have the bits of the bacteria in it or the virus or whatever that they could then use to resurrect it in a lab. Okay, fine. Very Dan Brownish. Yes, rocks. Totally Dan Brownish, but fine so far. Here's where it starts to go completely batshit.
They catch the guy
in the act. He is pulling the bones out of the crypt. He's got them in a couple of bags. Sealed bags. And can I just say, the bacteria, virus, whatever the fuck it is, mold, I don't care, is in the DNA of the bones. They've established that. Those are the rules of the universe. It's in the last time I checked, you can't catch a disease from bones, let alone bones that have the DNA inside the bones, and the bones are inside fucking sealed bags.
Yep.
So Keen gets the drop on him, and he says, if you shoot me, I drop these bags, and you know how contagious this is, we will both die. And it's like, it's not so contagious that the bags are going to burst open, because we can see there's zippers on them, and they're made of at least some sort of vinyl, and it's in the DNA inside the fucking bones. Nothing is going to happen if you shoot him, Agent Keen. Nothing whatsoever, except the episode comes to a more logical conclusion. She lets him go, basically.
Because she's an idiot.
And what's sad is, Rox, here's what's sad. They've been trying to do better with her this season.
I know.
Because I'm convinced, I've not seen the next episode yet, where Lizzie's Secret, hashtag Lizzie's Secret, how fucking stupid is that? Where that is revealed, I'm thinking,
okay.
And again, if you've seen it, don't tell me,
yeah,
because I think this might be my last episode if it's not a fuck ton better.
I just, honestly. I watch Blacklist during my pseudo lunch hour. Okay. While I'm doing projects.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm always doing something else, and then it's like, oh, look, James is talking. James is talking. I can go back to the reading or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. It is. They got rid of what's her name last season. The Mossad girl is not. She's not the other one. Whatever her name is. The
CIA person.
Was she CIA? I thought she was NSA because she could do whatever she wanted.
I thought she was CIA, but I might be wrong.
Whatever. She can hurt people, and they don't ask questions. She's not her.
Well, she could be, but they just haven't utilized her properly. They don't utilize anybody they've got properly.
No. I mean, and Cooper, he's probably going, please let me walk.
Well, that was like. Well, that was what was so funny is because now that you've got the Mossad agent, and again, no spoilers because who gives a fuck? She got shot and infected with the plague, and I'm like, to me, that reminds me of Michael Gow in like. What was it, Batman and Robin, where he became seriously ill in a desperate attempt to escape that franchise. And I just, like I said, when she woke up in the hospital cured, I could, my first little riff tracksy thing to say was, oh shit, I survived.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh God. God. But anyway, so I'm, the only thing I think is that maybe she's got Tom Locked away in the closet.
You know, here's the weird thing. This is the
Tell me the weird thing.
Well, no, no. It's a look at. Let's bring up Gotham. Gotham has
its own universe.
Okay? Right. We believe in this universe. The problem with real life, shows that they're trying to base in the real world, and they do weird, crazy things such as Blacklist. It doesn't make us believe it. I mean, at least Lee and I can talk about Sleepy Hollow. That's in a contained little village.
Right.
So the environment suits the craziness.
Right.
You have Blacklist, which is this, global whatever, and nefarious deeds go on, and you're not buying it.
Well, I think the problem is they did a really good – they're overplaying their hand.
Overplaying everything.
They have done an excellent job of establishing, because James Spader grounds it by saying, this is the shit that goes on that you don't even know goes on, but it's totally going on, right?
Right.
And for the most part, up until now, up until maybe the end of the first season, they've done a really good job of portraying it like, you could sort of buy that, because we all sort of know that shit goes on that we don't know about, we probably don't want to know about. We all sort of believe that. Not conspiracy theory level shit, but we all sort of know there's crazy shit happening. But this just basically goes, yeah, all that crazy shit that you're thinking about, it's totally happening times about five. And I think about five is the level that they can get away with based on the universe they've constructed, right?
Mm-hmm.
With this last episode, they took it up to like 15.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I would have been fine with it if they had just not made such stupid – like from the beginning, they're doing, okay, we've done this check of this autopsy of this woman and da-da-da-da. And the physician, who is a physician at a hospital, who last I checked wasn't any sort of chemical expert or anything, then drops the bomb of, oh, and that clay under her fingernails was 700 years old. Figure that out. And it's like, how the fuck would you know that? You're in a regular hospital. You're a regular physician. You're not even like some reoccurring specialist crazy character like
it.
This universe's version of Ed Nigma,
right,
who would
this,
know that
this
shit.
This is what Hollywood needs to do when it comes to science. They need to get everybody into her room and just get one lecture by Margaret Atwood. You can explain everything. It's like, okay, here is the outline at which you all have to work. Dan Brown did the same thing, that all of a sudden we were mutating into something that was developed from the Da Vinci era. And I'm like, or not the, it was the Dante, whatever thing. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, did he not read a Margaret Atwood book at all?
Well,
a friend of mine at the CDC. Oh, I love that. You'll love this line out of Dante's Inferno thing was, I have a friend at the CDC and they said, we're already mutating.
But we are already mutating, but we're not probably mutating like Dan Brown thinks we're mutating.
I mean, the issue there too is what is hysterically funny to me whenever I watch some of these shows is I'm like, even if you went to Wikipedia, which is always correct,
which is always right.
Even if you went to Wikipedia and spent like 2 minutes, you only got to read a lot. Just a little. You could do better, writers. Really. Because, hold on. That was my issue with Helix last season. Was so much of this, and you would watch it and go, no, it doesn't work that way. And, any kind of, and you're just like, oh my God, I'm going to kill these people. But now they're bringing Helix back, and they swear it's going to be better. But it has the other guy from Wings on it. Steven Weber, so I'm gonna try to love it again.
Well, Steven Weber's good. I mean, he was a great Jack Torrance.
He was. Steven Weber, I liked Wings. I know it was a long time ago. I liked him. I liked Alien Weber. So, yeah,
Well, remember, first of all, Wings is always going to have a special place in my heart because because not only did it give us Tony Shalhoub, right?
Yep.
Where I think he made his debut, but it also gave us Thomas Hayden Church.
It gave us Thomas Hayden Church, and Wings was a funny damn show.
It was. Some of you have never played and Crystal Bernard was pretty hot.
She was. As were the brothers. The brothers weren't bad. They did have the longer hair thing.
That's true. DC Animated fans should be happy because that gave them Tim Daly.
It did. Great voice of Superman.
Now you brought up Gotham. Is anyone watching Gotham?
No, I did not bring up Gotham. No, I didn't.
Who brought up Gotham? No, Rox brought up Gotham.
Yeah.
Someone brought up Gotham. Someone on here brought up Gotham.
Well, she just stepped away, so you gotta wait. Okay, so all right. So we were talking about The Blacklist.
Yes.
Along with what were we talking about?
I don't know. I'm done with my Blacklist, Brad. I am literally.
No. I wasn't blacklisting. I was talking about something else.
Oh, I don't know.
What was the other show? Because you watch it.
Gotham. Shield.
Shield. No. Was it Shield?
Well, we weren't talking about Shield.
Oh my God, but Shield. Director Coulson has been doing the best faces. The stone cold badass face.
Well,
seriously.
More Shield spoilers. I am apart from the whole handcuff thing, which sort of bugged me.
I have a theory. That's where it was. I have a theory on Ward, but keep going.
So you think it's planned?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I think they're showing a path for redemption for him by using the character another Marvel character who we never see the face of.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want Ward to rehabilitate.
I don't either. I think he's
like Evil Ward.
I do too. I love
Evil Ward. Now here's what I like.
He has a personality.
What I like about Shield is they are. And what I like about the Marvel Cinematic Universe in general is they are not afraid to basically take the stuff that is safe and destroy it. The fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. got blown up, which was basically the framework their entire universe was based around, they blew it up.
Uh-huh. And
what is that noise in the background?
It's a helicopter.
Oh, okay. Is that one of your drones, Rox?
Sure.
But basically, they take stuff, and same thing with Walking Dead, stuff that you could draw out for an entire season in a lesser show, they're not afraid to go, what?
No, boom, all done.
But the fact that Kyle MacLachlan's doctor walks into Whitehall's office and says, yeah, Coulson, let's team up and kill him, which is exactly what would happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I love that, and I love the fact that there's stuff like, you know, the fact that their General Talbot is not a complete dick, you know?
He's 75% dick.
Well, he's a 75% dick, but the fact is he's like, when he says, I'm not into politics, I'm just about, you know, he really does honestly believe that S.H.I.E.L.D. is bad until shown otherwise, you know?
Well,
so it's like
until told by the person who's funding him.
Well, yes, but you know what I'm saying? It's like I like the fact that you could spend an entire season with the entire world chasing S.H.I.E.L.D. and that could be your whole season. But they've basically mostly wrapped that up.
They have, and what I also loved, I mean, I think because we are all making a lot of jokes about, you know, I mean, Hydra must have their own little worker somewhere hiding that makes all their logoed, you know, lab coats and shirts and everything else. But I love that we got Simmons and tied that up in basically three apps.
Yes.
And not only tied it up where there was a reason for tying it up, but also now we understand why it even started in the first place. Two lines. You and I will always say that. Why would she have done this? Why would they have done X? They gave us the two lines.
Yes.
I don't know that. And it was like, oh my God, that's like, and I was just like, my little heart was breaking and looking at her and she was crying. Oh my God.
I love the fact that that relation, they've taken all the relationships and they've jumbled them up completely. which is not safe. So you've basically got May having to truly watch Coulson. You've got Sky being adversarial towards Coulson because Coulson's not, for the most part, revealing everything, rightly so. And now you've got Fitz who is now a completely different character.
Yeah, he's broken in different ways. I mean, the other thing is what you've got in Coulson too, which they've done a very good job of for me, is there is a huge difference between being a team leader and being a big leader. And they've transitioned Coulson very well.
Yes.
You tell your team a whole lot more than when you are leader, whatever term you want to use that as director or manager or whatever.
Well,
there is a difference there, and Coulson's just like, I don't gotta tell you shit.
Well, what I love too is that in the Winter Soldier commentary, which, by the way, if I haven't already said, both the Winter Soldier, the Winter Soldier and Dark World commentaries are both quite worth listening to. But with the whole Nick Fury assassination attempt sequence. They were talking about, at one point we said, is this too much? And then they decided, no, it should be really fucking hard to kill Nick Fury. And because Nick Fury thinks of everything, he is one step ahead of you. And to me, that's not Nick Fury. That's what being director of S.H.I.E.L.D. means. So the fact that Coulson is able to say no deal, which I don't know about you, but I was like, what? No deal? What?
As
no
I deal? Said, and I was just, when he was such a stone cold badass, and I was like, oh my God, that is just, that, oh my God, it's so,
but
it
that's,
must be slightly organic, that, but that's a completely
I know, but that's,
issue. Yeah, keep going.
That's what being S.H.I.E.L.D. director means.
It
and
is.
So you have to be, you have to think of everything, and you have to think of it one step ahead of everyone else, and it has to make sense. It can't just be, I think the absolute envelope ends with the little lightsaber burn through the pavement thing where Nick Fury gets the fuck away. That is about the extent of the ability to organically have somebody think ahead that much. But it works. And so I am really enjoying S.H.I.E.L.D. because it is a completely different show from the first season.
It's a completely different show from the first 13 episodes. Saw that huge change last year, and they changed that. You've also got what also been great about S.H.I.E.L.D., first of all, is it is, I'm sorry, it's a spy show. Yes, that's what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, and that's what I always wanted to see in S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'm now seeing the spy part of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I'm loving it. That's been the good thing. I think the other thing that has been just so great is, as you said, I mean, we've got bad guys, we've got good guys, we're not really sure. I mean, you're still not sure if Coulson's going to go nuts. I mean, we're still not sure about that. Why is he drawing this shit? You're still not sure. I mean, I love the idea because I've been reading it just like everybody else. Guy being one of the Inhumans sounds great. I mean, I have no idea what the hell that means, but it goes better than a lot of the other things we've been hearing. So I'm all right with that. I know, so I love how they're bringing this in, and they're putting in just enough to keep you there. So if you gave up on this show, go back. You do not have to watch all of season one.
No, start with the trains episode. Start with the trains episode, believe me.
You've got to see the pilot. You need to see the pilot to understand some things. After the pilot, you really, really can go to the train episode and then go forward from there. Honest to God, when you see a character that isn't one of the main team on the screen, just pass forward through it. It doesn't really probably matter.
Well,
unless it's Reyna, and then you need to watch every little bit of that bitch because none of us trust her as far as we could throw her a little scrummy at.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, she's great. I mean, brilliant. Brilliant. And did not realize she was in, World War Z. She was in World War Z.
Was she? Who was she?
She was in the lab at the end.
Oh, okay.
And she was one of the scientists. And she was the scientist who went, yeah, that would be all be great, except, it's over in the, West Ward, and nobody can get there.
So her and Capaldi.
Yes, Capaldi. The doctor, the who doctor who played a who doctor?
Yes. So, all right. So, moving on to Gotham now that Rox is back.
Okay, uh-huh. Gotcha. Because I'm not watching that one.
Okay. So the one
I am so liking that show.
So Rox, let me just ask you this though. The one problem I had with that show is, and maybe this is me, because I have never been married to a cop, okay? Nor has anyone on this podcast, to my knowledge. But the whole
that
thing
you know of,
that I know of.
Hi, couple.
Hello.
Hey, it's a tough monster. So basically, the whole thing of what's her face, Sarah, right? Is that the
Barbara?
Girlfriend? Barbara, right? Right, which is a creepy name for his girlfriend to have. Basically. I don't like her at all because it's like, I want you to share everything with me. And at some point you would have said, so you want me to share everything with you? You who the last thing I shared something with you called the papers about? Now, is it just me? Or if you are married to a cop, do you expect them to come home and like go through their case files with you?
All right.
I've said
this before, that this runs this gamut every time, and I guess we almost need to have
a blacklist at some point too.
Well, no, I always compare this with, and Cosette can back me up on this, is Midsommar Murder,
right?
Where I've been stuck
with that for like 2 weeks. Wow.
Well, the thing is that John Nuttall's character would come home and tell his wife Joyce everything, yeah. Everything.
And show her evidence.
And show her evidence, and she got involved and stuff. And
the daughter and would go even, solve cases.
Yeah, even the new guy, the cousin, his wife is a little bit involved, a little bit, not as much as Joyce. But I'm sure that I don't know if there is this giant code of cops not talking to, because I see this, I've seen it on SVU, and then of course then you see on how that pans out. How that pans out is they wind up, getting a divorce, you know, the kids hate him, and it doesn't, and you know that there are cops out there that do talk to their wives. You know, I just can't always believe that it's like, no, I can't talk to you about anything, blah, 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 blah.
But no, it's not even that. It's not even that. It's just the whole blackmailing somebody into, you've got to let me in and tell me what's going on or I'm leaving you. At which point it's like, I'm sorry, I don't do well with blackmail. Leave me. I have enough shit going on without having to worry about my own girlfriend blackmailing me. Fuck off. I mean, maybe it's just me.
Yeah, but you know what? She's the one that owns that apartment.
So basically...
It's really hard to come by in Gotham.
So basically...
Oh my God, that and cars. Did you watch this week's episode?
No.
I am caught up... Which one did I... Oh, fuck.
It's called The Penguin's Umbrella.
No, I have not seen that one yet.
Oh, Jesus, people. All I can say is nobody has cars. Saying. That's kind of a spoiler. Then you're like, huh, what does Rox mean?
The thing of people falling out of buildings and onto them, is that what it is?
That's all vehicles are for. That's all they are for, apparently. Not leaving, not as
last time I checked, Gotham had some pretty tall buildings.
Yeah, so all cars are used for our body dumping. That's it. Yes. You know, the whole Barbara and the girlfriend, they can almost write that out. It's I kind of gloss over that because all the other characters are more interesting than Barbara, and I don't care.
Definitely. And it's like
they could put somebody else in her place. I mean, honestly, I think the dynamic between Barbara and the vice cop woman, that's interesting because, you know, they have history and this and that, and, you know.
It's interesting, but they're playing it up too much. It's like, oh my God, you were a lesbian. Oh. It's like, no, who fucking cares?
You know, I'm surprised he's not like, hey, what most guys would do. Hey, do you think? I mean, really, they didn't even go there. It's just like, oh,
I know. It's like, you know? Hey, how about we do a little MCU investigation then?
Yeah.
Let me come check out and investigate your evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't even bother. It's like, wow. Okay. I don't know. That dynamic, I really don't care about because you see so little of it. So
I know.
It's not bothering me yet.
You usually make the point like you were making with Midsommar Murders. They like to have like the one character that people confide to.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these procedurals. And I don't know if it's necessary here.
No. I don't think it is.
The other issue there is that even if there is in any of these procedurals somebody you confide to, there are certain things you confide and certain things you can't.
Well, she's a lawyer, right? Barbara? I don't know.
I honestly don't know what she does for a living.
I don't know, but even if she's in the realm of cop, you know, prosecuting, defense, or whatever.
Oh, and if she's a lawyer, she's not supposed to be knowing anything anyway.
But the thing is, she has
power lunches. She has power lunches. Are you telling me that there is no gossip in Gotham? I mean,
no, I'm sure there is. But my thing is this: there's a big difference between the sort of last time I checked in Midsommar Murders, John Nettles didn't have to pretend to kill somebody so that organized crime didn't kill him and his girlfriend.
Well, that's gonna be the Luther crossover when they transfer Luther to Midsummer. I want to see that. You know what? I want to see that as a Red Nose little skit. Why not?
Here's the thing that drives me crazy about Midsummer. That show's been on, what, 18 years now?
Something like that.
Aren't all of those damn villages just been destroyed completely? Haven't they all been wiped out?
Didn't you mention this before? Is that, I mean, basically, the way the universe works in Midsommar, Tuffley, is that there is a never-ending series of victims because they tried to tone it down at one point and people complained.
People complained.
So that's why anyone, if they're interested, should go find Cosette's article about the best murders in Midsommar Murders.
It's like no wonder everyone lives in huge houses. It's because the property values suck.
Yeah.
It's like everyone dies like every week. If you didn't get the house you really want, just wait.
You know, the funny thing is one time I binged so much on Midsommar Murder. I don't know. I think I watched at least like two seasons back to back. And
those things are 2-hour movies.
Yes. And then I think I went and I watched the first Endeavor and I'm like, why is this so slow?
Okay, you guys can't see this because we're on the little Google Hangout. Rox just did this great thing where there was just like that dead stop for a second. Kind of like, I can't do it because you can't do it on a podcast. But she was just holding her hand up like, you know, like the video had paused for just a second. It was very cute to see her do that.
She's anticipating the network error.
Cosette, I think, binged I don't know how many seasons in a row.
Oh, we compare notes.
You and Kim, you guys have to do like a Midsommar.
Seriously, we need to do a special Weekend Justice Midsommar Murders special. Why not? Do it. Fucking do it.
Well, I mean, they even had an episode, okay, where they brought back two victims to play two victims again.
Because they've run out of actors. They've killed everyone.
No, they haven't run out of any actors. The thing is they did this as this deja vu thing, and he's like, he keeps looking at him like, I know you people.
Isn't the guy who plays the new guy the cousin?
The cousin.
Wasn't he like a suspect in an episode?
I think so, yeah.
It's like Doctor Who. Everyone who's in it has been in it before.
You know, the funny thing is I was in Rockport, Massachusetts, beginning of October, and that looks like one of those villages, swear to God, like it's a Murder, She Wrote place. It was so funny. I'm like, yeah, we're just waiting for Angela Lansbury to come by and investigate the murder of, you know, Edie Gourmet and Steve Allen or something.
What's great is, you know, Rox, you know, but Tuffley, you know why. It's his cousin, right?
No, we haven't gotten to those yet, but I looked at it and went, oh, yeah, it's cousin. Yeah.
No, but the reason they did that is because in foreign territories, the show is called Inspector Barnaby.
Oh.
So they had to keep the last name in order to not change the fucking name of the show.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm actually watching a few of those at the moment. I actually have been watching Inspector Lewis, the new.
Yeah, Cosette's a big fan of Lewis as well.
Yeah, so those are actually pretty good, too. Their body count's like mid-range on the body count, you know. Yeah, they kind of do that. But, man, Inspector Endeavor, it was like one murder. Really? Oh, okay. I forgot about that. I forgot.
Or then you go back to something with Prime Suspect where there's only one murder for 8 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what was it?
Frank.
Wait, what was that? Oh, God. What was the show that was like, oh, fuck. It was an entire American season of like 24 episodes.
Oh, what, Murder One?
Murder One! Yes, thank you.
I actually like that.
One murder, good. Right?
So I mean, it takes you through everything.
Oh yeah. No, that's great. I love that. But yeah, no, I think that's great. That what you need to do for Red Nose is there's two things I want based on this conversation. Is I want to see a Red Nose skit or somebody do a skit based around an app that tries to track real estate prices in Midsummer County. And Rox, I think you need to film a commercial. We can find a used car lot to stage it in. Of come to Rox's body catching car lot. if you want, depending on how you basically you sell the cars based on how soft or hard the roof is. Yeah. So how much of the body you want left after it hits. Are you so let me get this straight. You're looking for it to drop about 10 or 12 stories. You're really going to want an Oldsmobile for that. Let me tell you why.
Velocity, this is what you want.
What is it? 33 feet per second per second or something like that? So I could just see you working the math in your head. So you have two bodies falling. Oh, well, you're definitely going to need a van. You're just going to need a van. Otherwise, half of the body is going to wind up on the pavement, and then you got to scrape that shit up.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Or a Chevy Capri Classic.
Yeah, there you go. Have you got a good car? Come and trade it in. And I can see Rox, I can see you like somebody bringing in a cloth top Miata, and you're like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Come back when you get a Crown Vic. Come on.
Yeah. Oh my God, or a Regal.
Are you fucking kidding? Get out.
Oh no.
You get a Regal, sir. You will bounce. You will bounce off of that.
Oh my God, can't you see Rox in one of those old 1970s style caddies? I mean, just those really, really long.
Oh my God, Hold on. My nephew bought one. I have this client. I have this eccentric client who actually rebuilds cars.
No,
and we're trying to get
you?
An engine. Huh?
No, you know somebody eccentric. I'm totally sorry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, funny that.
Let me just say, if Rox calls you eccentric, that's a badge of fucking honor. You better get a button and wear that.
Yes. Anyway, we're trying to get an engine for this caddy. Plus, my nephew wants to grow a mullet, so I made him watch Joe Dirt. I'm like, that's the mullet you need to wear.
No mullets. No. We're
Am I the only one disturbed that Joe Dirt has come up now in two podcasts in a row?
I know. I brought him up.
Was it Rox who's done it both times?
Yes, I did.
Are you surprised? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
it's a good soundtrack, and it's got Christopher Walken in it.
So
Christopher Walken's pretty much a man whore. So yeah, he's in a lot of movies.
I don't think he's
a charming actor. He's not a whore.
Uh huh. Okay.
So moving on to the other thing I want to talk about, I called to check on Kim after all of the Ultron trailers, the Agent Carter teaser, and then the Marvel announcement, because I thought she might have squeed herself to death.
She almost exploded.
I know.
She and I did. She and I have talked a lot. She hadn't seen the little tiny video. Tuffley's, I think she's seen it now. The one that somebody shot and put up, which was the Cap Iron Man scene on Clint's farm.
Oh,
yeah. With the wood chopping.
Oh my God.
Well, you can see it, but I told her about it, and then she later, I think, has now seen it, because I think I heard the squee from my house.
And the Benedict Cumberbatch Doctor Strange announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Did they officially announce that? They have not
officially done it yet, but I believe they are in the final stages of talks.
Okay. Because the one we're really curious about is what they're going to do with Captain Marvel.
Well, of course. Well, that was the other thing. I was specifically concerned about Kim and the Captain Marvel announcement, because they made it clear it was going to be Carol Danvers.
Oh, my God.
I kind of figured it would be after Guardians, because the minute I saw Guardians, I went, they're going to do a Captain Marvel movie.
Well, it only makes sense with the trajectory they've got.
And I think I may have said that when I saw, the logos, the symbols all over Thor.
Yes.
That's the setup. Did. They're bringing Carol in.
You did. You said that right way back at Dark World. That's what I said. You completely called the whole thing about, he's created the Ultrons as an army to fight stuff so the Avengers don't have to. You totally called that.
Honestly, Inhumans. I really thought Inhumans was going to be a television show. I really did.
I'm really surprised that they aren't. I'm with you on that. But I just want to say, I it's not great. I'm not thrilled. It's taken way too long to get here. But thank God, a woman-themed movie and an African-American-themed movie. Oh, yes, Marvel. Thank you. Thank you. DC is doing better overall in their diversity.
Well,
he is so good.
Great.
Saw him in 42. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's great in 42.
Well,
he was powering up too, wasn't he?
Here's the thing that I think makes sense is that rather than that, you had to set the groundwork to bring them in organically.
Yeah.
And so I think where they're doing it makes complete sense. So I would much rather them do it organically where it makes sense than to go, well, now it's time to do, a cast with a black lead.
In terms of the timeline, Captain Marvel is coming after, is the next film after Avengers 3 Part 1, right?
Yes.
Okay. I had to get that straight in my head, Avengers 3 Part 1.
Yeah, so basically it goes like this. It goes just for the benefit of the people following along in their workbooks at home. Age of Ultron is May 1st of next year. Then you get Ant-Man July 17th. Then that's it for 2015. Then in 2016, you get Captain America Civil War, which I'm still not thrilled about, May 6th, 2016, with Doctor Strange. Well, hang on, we'll come back to it. Doctor Strange, because if I stop now, I'll never get started again. Doctor Strange, November 4th. Then we're done for 2016. 2017, you get Guardians of the Galaxy 2, May 5th. Thor Ragnarok, Thor 3, July 28th, with Black Panther coming November 3rd. So then you get Avengers Infinity War Part 1 in May 4th of 2018, Captain Marvel July 6th, Inhumans November 2nd, and then 2019, May 3rd, you get Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
I would like to say that I think Disney, if you check those dates, I'm pretty sure about this, if you check those dates, all of those dates are not in direct competition with any other Disney franchise.
Oh, no.
Because they're Disney's not stupid.
They're not stupid. It's not – there may be a Pixar thing, but that doesn't count. But there's not a Star Wars conflict in that.
No, because they're not stupid. Although, can I just say, I am incredibly amused, and I forget who pointed this out first, but basically they didn't have to go to anybody to get the rights to I've Got No Strings in the Age of Ultron trailer.
No.
And you got to see Mockingbird wearing a Star Wars t-shirt in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I thought was hilarious.
I thought that was so – I was just like, oh, my God. That was – and Coulson used a grumpy cat mug. Okay, so what was I going to say?
You were saying something Civil about Doctor Strange or something.
No, I don't care about Doctor Strange. I was talking about Civil War. I am not – because, again, not a comic book person. I understand why comic book fans are worried. You guys have told me why you're worried. I'm also wondering, is it really, really going to be that Civil War, or is it going to be something else? And here's the only reason. As Kim has said, and she's not on here, the Cap movies so far have been the epic bromance of Steve and Bucky. And there's got to be something Bucky in this. Right. So is it really Civil War as we know it? Is it Civil War that they're going to have a big damn fight because Steve wants to protect Bucky and Tony's like, no, he killed my parents and he, you know, assassinated everybody else we could ever love? I mean, I don't know.
Well,
I think there's going to be parts of a lot of different things in that. So I'm
there
not.
There is, but part of it is you can't have Civil War like you had in the comics because there's not enough established characters.
True.
So even if you establish some more characters, there's not that many. So it can't be, and you don't have Spider-Man, which was the thing that pissed me off the most, and the second biggest thing that pissed me off involved Reed Richards, who you also don't have. So,
well, now, do remember, though, Sony and Marvel / Disney are in talks to share.
Not like this.
Okay. All right.
You could introduce them, but you could not make them a huge deal.
I don't believe you on that. I don't know.
I just don't see it happening. But the thing is, I think they are setting up, at least in the movies, they're setting up again, I use the word organic because that means it doesn't feel forced. They're setting up an organic – it's in the comics you had – my problem with Civil War and the fact that you had Iron Man versus Captain America was that they had literally, a few months before, reformed the Avengers by basically deciding that the world needed the Avengers and they needed to work together and they needed each other. And literally in the course of a single page of comic book panels decided that they were enemies and parted ways. It was the stupidest fucking thing. No. The Spider-Man reveal was the stupidest fucking thing, and Reed Richards getting somebody killed was the second. So it was the third stupidest fucking thing I have seen in comics ever. And I've read a lot of comics.
But by virtue of Fox and Sony, two of the stupidest fucking things in that thing aren't going to happen.
Yes. So in one way, I'm happy. But they have set up, and I think part of that log-splitting scene that I've read about but not seen is talking about the difference between the two of them.
That's what's going on from the first film, though.
No, exactly. There's never been this whole we're buddy buddy. It's been more like, and Tuffley, Rob, forgive me for this, but it's been like what Hall and Oates have always said about themselves. We're just two musical artists that work together. We're not a band unto ourselves. We just happen to work together. So
one
there you go.
One of them has a beard.
One of them has a beard, which there
and
you
one
go.
One of them is John Oates.
And one of them is a blonde. One of them is blonde. One of them has a beard. Tony Stark, Steve Rogers. There you go.
There you go.
So I am willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. It's just that I so fucking hated Civil War. What I postulated before they announced the whole schedule like it was I thought it would be awesome if Civil War ended with half of the combatants blinking out of existence, and then you cut to Thanos wearing the Infinity Gauntlet, turning to death and saying, it's done, and cut to credits, cut to the Infinity Gauntlet standalone movie. So it's like, oh, right, we're supposed to be fighting bad guys. Sorry about that. We completely forgot. But you've got so much shit going on between, first of all, the idea of doing that whole Civil War in one movie, even as epic as the Russo brothers have demonstrated that they can do with Winter Soldier, which is pretty fucking epic, okay? They got a lot done in 2 hours and 10 minutes. No, 2 hours and 5 minutes. 5 minutes was basically credits. Basically,
very well done credits.
Very well done credits, in fact. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because so far they have fixed a lot of things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with hindsight that did not work in the comics. You know, things work better in the movies because they can go, yeah, that's not going to work in the movies because we're trying to appeal to more than just comic geeks who will forgive anything we do. We're trying to live up to, especially now. See, here's the other thing that's interesting, and Tuffley, I'd like to get your take on this, is that given that all of the normal Marvel Universe stuff has done really, really well, and then Guardians of the Galaxy blew everything out of the water, everything out of the fucking water, I'm sure the regular MCU stuff has got to be looking at each other going, what the fuck was that? Yeah, I would think at this point that the people making the regular Earthbound series have to be going, well, shit, now what do we do?
It's interesting in that, and also it kind of plays into they knew something we didn't. Maybe.
Oh, well, how is that exactly? Which thing they knew?
It's sort of that. And we had talked about this before on another podcast. It was sort of the distance between that kind of a film.
Yeah.
Where we had talked about, okay, there's been some sort of pent-up desire to have some sort of crazy sci-fi film.
True, yes.
And not something that took itself too seriously, not a Star Wars that couldn't figure out what it is with wooden chemistry, that.
Right.
And I think that's part of the reason Guardians paid off. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they make the turn and how they make the more Earthbound characters and the Galactic characters, the closer they get to each other, how that's going to work and how that plays off each other. I think that'll be interesting to watch, which I think they're building the demand for that.
Well, and I think they're doing Well, they've already set up in S.H.I.E.L.D. that S.H.I.E.L.D. is going more alien, even as they're staying Earthbound. There's all this alien shit that people are dealing with. So, and we've already established that, for those who were paying attention, that Warlock is close. He's in a pod in the Collector's Collection. In fact, what was it? I don't think they'll do this, but Doc had the theory that Sky being, semi-alien might be related to Star-Lord in some way. That would be a hell of a crossover.
That's interesting, yeah.
Who?
Star-Lord and Sky from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty popular theory right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome. We would not
mind that. Sorry, Lee, thank you. You
what?
You did my joke, and I didn't even catch it. Thank you. The proper response to anyone saying Star-Lord is who? In fact, like I said, if you're wearing a Star-Lord shirt and you have not taken it upon yourself to embroider the words who ? Onto your shirt in some form or fashion, even on the back or even someplace where you tuck it in, then that's not a true Star-Lord shirt. I still maintain that. Because that was fucking brilliant. Who? Digimon Hounson, ladies and gentlemen. Which, by the way, can I just say, the fact that he, Tony Jaa, and Kurt Russell are in Furious 7 excites me.
Okay. So, I haven't heard that yet. Okay.
Yeah, the trailer's out. You see Kurt Russell, but you don't see the other two. But they are listed in the cast, and it looks just as insane as Fast and the Furious 6. And Jason Statham's the bad guy. So I'm like, okay, I'm totally in. What do you want? But anyway, so back to Marvel real quick. So here's another question. Does anybody see anybody getting out of this from a casting point of view? I mean, you've obviously got if Robert Downey Jr. Wanted to exit, you'd have Don Cheadle. If Steve Rogers wanted to exit, you've got Bucky. Yep. I mean, we've already set it up to where whoever can lift Thor's hammer, which, by the way, that scene with Captain America was
pretty brilliant. That was beautiful.
That was great.
Where he got nervous.
Yes, for just a second.
You could replace
Thor because they've established that as well. So I think they've done a really good job of setting up to where somebody else could take up the mantle. But yeah. I mean, of all the people, honestly, I don't think you can lose Robert Downey Jr. because I love Don Cheadle. I love me some Don Cheadle. And anyone who has not seen Rosewood needs to go see fucking Rosewood with him and Ving Rhames, and it's a fucking great movie. But I just think you could replace anybody at this point but Robert Downey Jr. That's why I'm like, Disney, whatever he wants, fucking pay him. Just pay him. Pay him.
Well, I think the two that will be difficult to – I think RDJ is one. I also think it would be tough right now. I think you got to get a little farther before you can replace Cap.
Partly that's because he's so fucking good.
Well, he's so good, and I think the other thing there is the chemistry between Cap and Iron Man, as just the little tiny bits we've seen so far from the second movie, but also in the first movie. I mean, they play off each other so well.
Yes.
And I think that's a big thing, and I think maybe sometime between the Infinity War, you could kill off Cap and then have Bucky take the mantle. But I think before that, it's going to be a letdown for some people.
And I think the other thing they're doing, especially depending on how the Scarlet Witch Quicksilver Vision thing goes, you've also got other characters in the background you can stick in the team.
Well, that's what I thought was so brilliant about doing Infinity Gauntlet is that, obviously, if you follow the plot, half of the universe disappears. So people can be cameos, and they're gone. They're just missing from the rest of the film, and it makes sense for them to be missing, so you don't have to pay them the full amount. You know?
Or basically, here's how the first film ends. This could be how the first film ends.
That's true. You could have the first setup, and then the second part is the battle.
Yeah, or you could have, like, the first team of Avengers that goes up there to deal with Thanos gets wiped out. That's the end of your first film. They disappear.
It's very possible.
That is possible. But here's the only thing, Tuffley. Here's the only thing I want from Infinity War. I'm fine with everything else. I want the face-off between Captain America and Thanos. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
My favorite moment.
What was the rumor that the first part was going to be a team led by one of them, and then the second one was going to be a team led by whoever doesn't go on the first one?
Hmm.
Which would be like Cap would lead a team and go up there, and then the second one would be Tony leading a team and going up there.
Well, like I said, I don't like. What's going on?
Oh, God.
What is happening?
Hello.
Sounds like
Lee,
are you okay?
Lee, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Annie, are you okay?
The mute button is your friend.
I think Lee's been kidnapped. God damn it, Hydra! Anyway, so I have never been a fan of the regular Marvel Universe Captain America, just like I was never a fan of the Avengers, because apparently all this cool shit happened and I kept missing it. So,
I keep watching Snowpiercer, though, and thinking it's Cap 3.
Man, I love Snowpiercer.
Listen.
No, seriously, I thought about it.
No, but see, Tuffley, here's the thing. It's like I mentioned before. I wondered why he looked so much like Cap, because he is such a chameleon of an actor.
Yeah.
Even in Scott Pilgrim, where they didn't really change his face that much, I didn't even catch that was him for the longest time.
Yeah.
But they made him look like Cap, so his hero speech at the end would be that much more shocking.
Right. Yes.
Was a fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Or how many appendages he actually loses at the end.
Oh, God. But basically, I'm not a big fan. I love the Ultimates. I loved Ultimate Captain America, because to me, Marvel Universe Captain America wasn't awesome enough. Because to me, if you're Captain America, you better be awesome. And like the MCU Cap is awesome. The Ultimates Cap was awesome. So, but the one moment that I love of the regular Earth 616 Captain America was when everyone else was down in Infinity Gauntlet and Cap basically stood there and was up against Thanos wielding unlimited power and doesn't blink. He's just like, all right, bring it. I'm like, holy shit.
Trying to get an Avengers versus Avengers and JLA where Cap tried to take down Darkseid.
You know, I
had a superpowered Cap, and they had him go up against Darkseid. I seem to recall this.
Well, that's possible. That is possible. But to me, it just doesn't hold as much as Infinity Gauntlet, where it was just literally. It doesn't matter if I'm going down or not. Bring this noise. Let's fucking do this. I was like, that is badass. Hi, Lee. Are you back?
Lee is back.
Is this actually Lee, or is this someone pretending to be Lee? Because we heard Lee get kidnapped.
Lee did get kidnapped by her teen because he wanted me to see the Agent Carter short that was just on ABC, so I had to go watch that.
I see.
And it was really fucking awesome. So,
are you sure? Because I'm sure we would have heard you squee. That would have shown up on the podcast. Are you sure it was that awesome?
It was that awesome, but I hit mute. So.
Okay, thank you. So you finally hit. All we heard was, oh, it was.
It sounded like Elvis.
It'll be on Facebook when I get done with this. So.
It looks pretty damn cool, and now I'm thinking that Agent Carter. Yeah, I'm gonna hold that for a while. Okay.
So Rob, it sounded like Elvis today. That's what it sounded like.
Yes.
Really, really dead.
Elvis has left the building, and will be soon sending proof of life.
So there's big news on the Doctor Who front.
Do we want to talk about that?
What is it? No. What is it?
I'm beating a cat. Rob
is himself with a tablet, just so you know.
Like a paper tablet, people. Like those
paper tablets.
Okay, what? This does not bode well. What is it? What happens?
What is it? Come on, Rob.
Spoiler!
Huge freaking spoiler if you haven't seen this week's show.
Don't care, keep going.
What?
Who is your favorite TV villain in a TV series?
My favorite TV villain in a TV series?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Well, it's not Boss Hogg.
Okay.
it's not Winchester. It's not Winchester from MASH. Let me think. It's not Mr. Roper.
Ooh, wow. He's just creepy.
Roper's not a villain.
No, I'm saying he's an antagonist.
Oh.
God, I'm trying to think. Who would be my favorite villain?
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be great? You drag in, like, some 80s show character and make him a villain, like Mr. Roper? All right, never mind.
Who is it? Who's coming?
It's the Master.
Okay, so who's the Master?
Okay.
Oh, from Doctor.
Okay, wait.
No, no, no. Who's playing the Master?
Widge?
Yeah.
I want you to imagine that you were like the biggest Dukes of Hazzard fan in the entire world, right?
Okay. Wait, hang on. I gotta get out of. Wait. I gotta get in character. Okay, go.
All right. You're the biggest Dukes of Hazzard fan ever, right? For years and years and years, you have Boss Hogg, and you love Boss Hogg, right?
Right.
Then one day, they recast Boss Hogg, right? And it's a woman.
Okay.
Okay.
There you are.
Okay.
So you have this character called the Master, who's like notoriously evil on Doctor Who, right?
Right.
Yep.
And basically, this woman, Missy, they've been building up for the entire season, is basically the Master.
Okay.
Well, now that doesn't strike me as too bad, because I've known a lot of evil women. In fact, one of them is on the podcast right now. So. and Rock.
Not me.
Awesome for you. Lee. Awesome.
And Rock.
No, I'm saying not me.
And Rock.
Yes.
Rocks. And if you think about it, You had a Three's Company antagonist that was a villain at one point, because Don Knotts was sort of villainy in Pleasantville.
Oh my God, yeah.
Sort of.
Wait, why is this such a bad thing?
Well, that was Ferny anyway, or whatever. Go ahead.
It's not that it's a bad thing because it's a woman. It's a bad thing because the way
it's
it was kind of like
fan driven. This is something.
Go ahead.
This is something that has been speculated about the whole idea of regeneration since, Troughton years, right? Do you think that argument's been around that long? Okay. If a doctor is regenerated, can they switch sexes? Okay. Forever, everyone's like, no. So
they had Romana do it as a joke.
Pardon?
They had Romana do it as a joke.
I forgot. What one was that?
The one where she regenerated. When it switched from Mary Tam to the actresses.
The Gedgen Factor.
Yeah. Okay. When the actresses changed, they had a bit where she was trying on bodies during regeneration, and several of them were men.
I can't remember that one. Oh. Yeah, but the thing is the whole idea is they've been wanting this for the Doctor in itself, and now all of a sudden the big reveal is I'm wondering if they're playing this up just to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
If they got an idea of, what is it, Thing on the Threshold, I believe, which is a Lovecraft story.
The Thing on the Threshold.
Yeah. Where – is it the one where the witch actually takes over this body of a guy? Is that the one?
I think so, yes, because the Thing on the Doorstep is the is the remains of the guy coming to warn or tell his friend about what's happened to him. I think that's the one.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm wondering, not fully, on board with this, but it's okay, because I wonder if it really didn't happen and he just took her body over. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, here's my question. Wouldn't it be awesome if Eric Roberts came back to play the Master again?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
No? I would take this over her any day. I mean, she doesn't seem. Well, it's like, oh, it's okay.
In the realm of
the whole how the Master has acted throughout the entire scope of Doctor Who, she seems pleasant.
Yeah.
She seems like not necessarily Mary Poppins, but sort of a CEO with. Which is funny, because we almost saw this with the alternate universe of the Cybermen anyway, right?
Well, we keep having
scary. They're not as scary as the first
one. Yeah. But with the Adipose episode too, we have a female villain.
Yeah.
And the fundamental problem is that not only does Kim's probably hiding somewhere, but not only can Moffat has a hard time writing women characters, he can't write women villains.
Right.
He can't write good characterization. He either is going to not be able to write a story or not be able to write a character. He can't do both together.
Now, it would have been better if this would have been, I don't know, the Ronnie, or if it would have been a completely new character. It would have worked. My problem isn't the change of the thing as much as it is for dramatic effect. It just fell on its face.
Yeah.
They built it up. They did, though, this really nice job of building her up. And she says a couple things to the Doctor. And at first you're like, you left me in another dimension. You're like, okay, this could be Romana, right?
I thought it was his daughter.
Yeah. Which would have been – even that would have been better. I mean, there's lots of really cool places they could have went with this that were better than what they chose. And that's my problem with it. But basically a lot of people are up in arms because he took basically this fundamentally core character and kind of messed it up. That's what people are upset about.
Question, whatever happened to Susan? I forgot.
We don't know. Remember she stayed on the planet with the guy?
I know. Wouldn't that be cool if that was Susan?
Yeah.
See, I think any number – I think any number of things they could have done without just saying, hey, I'm... Because there was the whole ring at the end. And that's why I think it's not fully a full regeneration thing. You know, because...
It's just the body swiping thing. Then it makes sense, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm playing that off as.
But at the same time, she's kind of playing this, like, kind of Nanny McPhee wimpy villain, not really a great sort of villain.
And the thing is the cool thing of, well, not the cool, well, okay, like the Roger Delgado, he just killed people. There was no, tell me something, not really, you're going there, you just killed them. That was like the quintessential, he was, Roger Delgado's master was the quintessential socio-psychopath where I just kill you. I don't have to explain anything at all. And I just kill you. And that's even off of his henchmen. This is like a really weird long game with Cybermen. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. It's just, it's a mess. And this, the idea of that, the in-between of like dying and then going to heaven, that's kind of murky too. I mean, it's a little bit, you know. So those are amongst the problems I have with it. It would have worked if it was a completely different character. And, you know, when you have someone like Capaldi as the Doctor, there are so many other people that would be a great master up against him.
Oh, my God,
It almost would have been better for them to bring back the Derek Jacobi master.
Yeah.
To go up against Capaldi. I mean, something along those lines, you know?
Oh, you know what? No. Or James Nesbitt. Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Well, that would be cool. Here's the weird thing is they're doing a lot for Capaldi. Like that whole, when he's got that little tete-a-tete with, what's her name? And he says, go to hell. And and I thought that was brilliant, just even from his In the Thick of It show and whatever else. Well, I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome.
And they made a swear joke.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I thought was funny.
Yes.
So, Tuffley.
Yeah, Tuffley, ring in on this one. What Kim think?
Well, Kim hasn't seen it yet because you know how Kim. Hang on, but you know how Kim does with two-parters. She's not good with them.
Right.
He has to have the second part. So she hasn't seen any of this yet.
Oh. So you're going to leave the house that day, right?
Huh?
You're going to leave the house that day, right?
Well, I've seen it.
No, I mean, when she watches it, you're going to be like, go somewhere.
Well, no, what happens is, because I have it on Season Pass. I have it on iTunes. Okay. So, because we don't have cable anymore. So I get it on Sunday. I get it after it airs. And she sleeps in, so I'll just watch it Sunday morning.
Okay.
But
you're not going to sleep in, though.
I really didn't see the problem with it.
I thought it was too much of a fan thing because it's something everybody's always wanted. It's I'll throw them a bone. They'll shut up.
The telling thing about the episode, I thought, which kind of won me and it sort of closer to being in its favor, was the fact that the reveal wasn't the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I did appreciate the fact that we didn't end it on the reveal, that we ended it on Danny's finger or a button.
Yeah.
I did appreciate that we didn't end it on, oh, she's the master. Well, we knew that. So.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It wasn't that hard to guess. I hadn't gotten any rumors about it. I think I maybe seen a couple of things, and I had a couple of fun guesses with it. I thought she was a bit of Clara or something.
Yeah.
I didn't really care that much about the reveal. That's okay, so she's the master. That wasn't that hard to figure out.
I thought we were supposed to get Davros this year.
Yeah, I did too.
Maybe that's who that is.
I also like the actress. I like Michelle Gomez. I think she's really good. I don't know if she works for this, but the other thing I think about is I would prefer that maybe having the master make do what they did with Delgado, where the Master makes appearances every once in a while, instead of the thing they did with John Sim, go to the trouble of bringing him back, only to kill him off twice.
Yeah.
So I hope, because the way they're talking about her is that they're keeping her around. So I hope they don't, at least they don't kill her off and like at next.
But the whole joke of, is my boyfriend bothering you? That just kind of makes this whole ending kind of weird. You know, I realize it's a red herring they threw out, but you know, not even.
You know, I think that was a playoff off what they made Sim do. That a lot of people were saying maybe the Sim Master is attracted to the Tenant Doctor and blah blah blah, and well now they can do that because she's a girl.
Yeah.
And also I think also character wise I think that just rattles him.
I mean, if you're gonna do something that ballsy, at least write a story around it that's got a plot and sort of works. I mean, do the whole Master story separate than the Master story and the Cybermen. You're making too much into one story.
Yeah. Because that never worked before.
Well, here's the thing. The season finales in all have not been terribly good. None of them. I think, and what I had posted was I said two of them were good.
Okay.
Series one worked fine. I was good with series one, even with the kiss. I was good with it. And then, you know, the Pandorica in series five, that was great.
Yeah.
All of the other ones, two would have worked had they not kept rewriting it every other season.
Yeah.
But, you know, the others just fail.
Yeah.
And they fail because it's always the, you know, the big over the top. It's all going to be a menacing threat. It's all going to be, no, it doesn't. It's a thing I hate about. The one thing I hate about New Who is that we always have to go big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where the threat's always got to be big, you know, and that's at a certain point, you just get fatigued with it.
I know. It's funny because bringing that back, it's like even simple episodes like The Brain of Morbius.
Yeah.
It's a small story. The Horror at Fang Rock, small story.
So I kind of have to grade finales. You have to grade the New Who finales on a different scale than the rest of the series. Because it's not like it's supposed to be over the top and stupid. I'm getting that idea now. And
but you're right. It's like the one from last week with, you know, the global, you know, tree thing. And, oh, you guys will forget about it tomorrow. You know, I hate when they keep bringing that up type of thing.
But I've said this, you know, I really would rather, instead of having the all or nothing huge finale reveal, let's just have multi-part stories back.
Yes. Oh my God, I've been saying that for a while.
Let's just bring multi-part stories back with the Marvel. Hey, listen, we've got like movies now that people watch in a serial order.
Yeah.
I think you know, people go to the Marvel films. People can take Doctor Who two-parters, okay?
Yeah.
Except
your wife.
Well, yes, but you know, you can binge them. The finales I can kind of give or take, period. So the fact that, it's the Master, it's a finale. That's what they do. That's what they do for the finales. Because it's the type of thing you kind of expect from the Doctor Who finales. I'm at the point now where I don't expect the finales to actually make sense. That's what the rest of the series is for. So I kind of look at it like if I can get at least 10 decent episodes, I know there are going to be two really bad ones. And technically there wasn't two bad ones this time. There was only one. So, you know, the series is a win for me, but the finale is, I don't know. We'll have to see if the two-parter, I really want to see Unit kick some ass. That'd be nice.
Yeah, man.
If that happens in the second part, I'll take it.
But I love Unit. Why can't they just have a Unit show?
Yeah.
It would be nice.
Exactly.
It would be nice. But yeah, I hope the second part sticks the landing. If it does what it's supposed to do and not fall flat on its face, it won't be as good as Series 5, but people have been saying that for the last couple of years, so.
Right.
They frost. Let me just say that now. I'm looking forward to Nick Frost and the Christmas special.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't know. Does that...
I guess that's it. I mean, hey, actually, we haven't heard from you. What is your take on? I mean, Rob rattled off his dislikes on. Oh my God, what do you think of the opening credits? Because I hate them.
I hate them too, and I hate the music.
I don't mind the opening credits as much as the music. The music kind of annoys me, but I'm kind of, again, it's sort of, well, at least they've got they've done something with the opening where, you know, at least the face is in the opening again, which is okay. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I kind of like the whole steampunky clock thing, which obviously was what they were thinking, which isn't but rocks. I know it isn't. I know it isn't rocks, but I'm just going to, it's fine. But I think the music is rather annoying. If they'd stuck that in, actually, I think some of the older themes, I think the last theme would actually have worked with this credits. This credit sequence.
Yeah.
So that's weird. But I think the music is the more annoying thing about it. But again, it's the opening credits don't really bother me that much. I wasn't really.
Yeah.
I didn't like the McCoy opening either, but you live with it.
But I do think, though, that the incidental music has been more nuanced this year, which is nice. We don't get, like, that really overstated Matt Smith music we had every single episode with Matt Smith in it. It's kind of nice. It's a little more subtle this time.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. It's a different feel for the show. I think the show likes to have a different sort of feel to it. I think it was a little more epic and cinematic in scope in the last couple of Matt Smith years, so they wanted those really high music cues. And now they're trying to pare it back a bit, although if you have threats with huge finales, you can't.
Yeah.
But I think the way the low-key kind of approach with the music kind of fit the low-key approach of a lot of the episodes. So yeah. it worked.
Well, the parts that they did at the beginning with Clara I thought were great, and they really added some interesting dimension. It was almost like you're trying to do what you do with Danny, you're trying to add the Master, and then you're trying to do this arc with Clara all in 45 minutes, and you can't. You know, that little bit that they did with Clara at the beginning with the lava was really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
If that would have been the only shocking thing in the episode, it totally would have worked.
Yes.
I would say the first 15 minutes of it are really good.
Although with the bit with Clara throwing the keys in the lava, was anybody really thinking, just snap your fingers?
Yeah, but eventually.
Oh, you know how I beat that, Clara? Snap. There you go. Done.
Yeah. But, you know, you have to – I was thinking, too, after they announced this whole thing with the Master, that if the TARDIS has the ability to not like, say, Clara, for example, right?
Yeah,
because we know the TARDIS, for some weird reason, doesn't like Clara, right? Which now we kind of probably have figured out. Well, wouldn't the Master's TARDIS not like him?
Well, here's the thing. Didn't he turn the safeties off to use the thing again?
I don't know.
Is that thing where you park a TARDIS in a TARDIS and it renders both of them moot or some shit? I never really got any of that either. But he turned the safeties off, so that's how he could. By the way, is St. Peter's now officially a TARDIS? Is that what we're thinking? Is that the theory? Is that the line here?
Yeah.
Is St. Peter's the Master's TARDIS?
St. Paul's.
Is St. Paul's the Master's TARDIS? Is that what we're saying now? Is
somebody robbing St. Peter's to pay St. Paul's? That's what I want to know.
Yes.
Well, there was the meddling monk who had the crypt as a TARDIS, so, yeah. You know.
And I'm not a big fan of, like, revisiting shot of the Cybermen in front of St. Paul's. It's like, okay, that's cute. Why'd you have to redo it? It worked.
You know, and it didn't even have the creepiness to it.
Yeah, they're not creepy.
No, they're not. I think the first when they had the alternate universe Cybermen, they were far creepier.
Yeah, I see. Here's the thing. Other than the bit in Tomb of the Cybermen where they're coming out of the stupid things, right?
Yeah.
That is the only time I've ever found the Cybermen scary. The second one of them opens their mouth, it's gone. It just is.
I don't know. The alt history one where you know on how a Cyberman in the alternate history or the alt universe is made.
Yeah.
That scared. That was creepy as shit. It's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to remove your brain and you're going to.
Oh, the bit with the lion sleeps tonight where they play that over where they're converting somebody.
Was that?
That was that one.
Was it? Was it the one where they're in that also where they're in that like tunnel and they have that woman, Mrs. Moore, and they're talking to this girl and she's remembering, tomorrow's my wedding day. That was scary. That was creepy.
Well, I did like the idea that was not followed up consistently in the Neil Gaiman Cybermen episode of them being able to upgrade, and the whole moving at super speed thing I thought was pretty badass, but then it didn't make any sense because they only, again, it's kind of like Jedi powers in the prequel. They only work when the plot wants them to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, what the Cybermen are capable of is wildly inconsistent from episode to episode. Now, I don't know if you want to explain it by, it depends on where in whose timeline it's occurring, and then that's why they can only do that, and that's
well, that's possible, but I mean you sort of have to have it be consistent at least within the same damn episode.
Yeah.
That's what makes me crazy.
But I've never found, except for Tomb of the Cybermen, I've never found them particularly scary.
No, the older ones, no. I understand, you know, it's like, oh, gold dust.
Even with the new ones.
I thought the 10th Planet ones were kind of scary.
Which one was that?
That was the first ones, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I've never found them scary other than that. I mean, what was it in series two, which, you know, which is Daleks versus Cybermen, where it's like the only thing you're going to die.
Yeah.
Which I thought, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the alternate universe.
I mean, what was it?
Creepy.
What was it? Oh, the five doctors. And then they had to invent something. They had to invent some stupid guy in a suit to take the Cybermen.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot. I mean, every time the Cybermen come back, there's somebody that's a human that they're with. It's either the woman in the next doctor, or it's Missy, or it's the Nazis in Silver Nemesis. I mean, there's always somebody that's like the human henchman for the Cybermen, but that just makes no sense.
Right. Yeah. That is kind of weird. Yes. It's like, oh, we need this person.
They need humans to point them around and then make up parts. I do love the spare parts thing. I've always appreciated the spare parts thing, and I think that was an addition at some point. Which I always appreciate the whole, okay, we're going to take spare parts and that's what we make them with. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. That should make them scarier. But the funny thing is after they brought them back and for what? Earthshock, if you watch it in order and you watch Earthshock, and the next time you see them is what? The five doctors and you think, really?
The five doctors and tech, yeah.
The next time you see them is five doctors and the guy in the Halloween bodysuit takes them out. That's kind of really.
Oh my God! Yes, you're right.
Every time the Cybermen get respect, the show takes it away from them.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, we can't have them be scary too long. No, can't do that. Guy in a Halloween lycra suit, go out there and kill him.
Yeah. I mean, I did, like, I keep bringing back that alt universe one is like, yeah. What, when the chip breaks, and then they're like, holy crap, who, why, you know,
actually,
I like
they
that psychological
the
problem.
They really? Showed those in the theater over the summer. They showed that two-parter in theaters over the summer. Wow. They did a thing, because David Tennant was narrating a BBC Nature thing.
Uh-huh.
That it was at like a deal where you bought the tickets and you'd go see, you know, Age of Steel and, oh. and the two Age of Steel episodes, and then you'd come back the next night. Yeah, you'd come back the next night for the Nature documentary.
Oh, wow.
There was very little cosplay for the Nature documentary.
Well, you know,
I'm a bird.
No, I'm not upset that he made, I mean, it does kind of annoy me that they took this really great established character and kind of punted it, because everyone was kind of thinking, if you're going to throw back to, with Capaldi, with an old school sort of character, that you're going to want the Master to be more of a Moriarty than a Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
And I think that's the disappointment, you know.
I mean, the thing is, too, if you do the whole mirroring of, you know, the Pertwee years, the Master yeah. went up against Pertwee a lot more than most of the Doctors.
Any other else?
I mean, he was in yeah. how many?
Well, honestly, he was like, there was like an entire series where he was basically the bad guy in it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like... Yeah. Oh,
it was just a continuing bad guy.
Oh my gosh, you know, they could almost do like a Midsummer Murder because there was demons. And that took place in like a Midsummer area, and there's even Morris dancing. So
now if they take this version of the Master and put it in like Downton Abbey and every period British thing as the Master, then that
God.
Would be...
Yes.
That would be great, you know, but... I wanted so much more, you know. I'm not sure. I like her as an actress. I just can't see her with the gravitas of Capaldi going toe-to-toe of it being, you know, really grunting and sort of battling it out, just like shouting and yelling and just really bumping heads. I can't see it. You know,
Here's the thing. I would be interested to see how this would play out in, say, a normal episode or a normal two-parter where it wasn't a finale, where it wasn't over the top, where it wasn't completely stupid.
Right.
You know, I think I still like Michelle Gomez enough to think that she could probably pull it out of the park in a normal episode. So
yeah.
I still want to see that. So I'm not necessarily – I'm going to reserve judgment because, again, I think – when you're dealing with the two-season finales, they're just a different animal than the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't grade her here. I think she's a great actress. I think she's doing what she can with the material here.
Yes. And my problem isn't her.
Yeah. And I would love to see – that's why I'm saying I would love to see her come back as the Master in, like, a regular episode, not a season finale.
Right.
Correct. I would like to see them apply this character in a regular season setting and not the finale, when I'm using quotes here. Because I just think that's just not the space to do it in.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a great way to introduce a character or a version of a character or somebody we're supposed to have some sort of, even if you want to root against the Master. You know, you at least want to have some affinity or attraction to them. And it's really hard to lock on to anybody in a season finale of this show. Or at least the recent finales.
It also feels like sort of, well, people say I can't write women characters. And people say that the Doctor can't be a woman. So, well, we can't make the Doctor a woman because that'll freak too many people out. So let's make the Master a woman and see how that goes. And then people find out that I can write strong female characters. It's kind of more like he's trying to do that than it is he's trying to write a really well-developed story. Because that whole story is a much better story if the Cybermen aren't even in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Although, well, that's for most Cybermen stories. But again, that's my bias. To be fair, though, the episodes where Clara really comes out weren't written by Moffat.
Yeah. I mean, the best stories
were written. Yeah. I mean, the best stories I've
seen were the ones Moffat didn't write.
Yeah.
The ones the science fiction writers wrote were the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if you want to go as far as depending on how people feel about Kill the Moon, you know, those episodes where Clara takes charge aren't written by Moffat.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are the episodes where people are going, see, that's character development. Okay, but Moffat didn't write those. He might have plotted them. He probably did. But he didn't write them. So, well,
yeah.
So still that argument's going to come back to, but he didn't write those episodes. So the complaint's still terribly valid.
But is it almost like moot point since we know she's leaving?
Do we? Is she?
I thought she is.
Yeah, it's pretty much – at this point, they backed her into such a corner that it's pretty obvious. I mean –
So are they getting Catherine Tate back?
Oh, my gosh.
No, the rumor is that Chris Addison is going to be the companion.
See, here's the problem. I want to like him, and I want to like his character, but I just don't.
Yeah.
Again, it's the thing about – again, it's the whole series finale thing where you can't lock onto any character. I really liked him in his brief little bit that we saw earlier. But for some reason – and it's nothing different – there's nothing changed in the performance and the material's still a bit jokey and dark and all of that. It's just – I don't like him here where I liked him earlier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, but again, it's that thing where I think it's partly because of the finale. I just think you can't lock on to anybody here. So it's sort of.
Right.
It's sort of hard.
You know what would be a really cool if they could do this is since, you know, Capaldi's got such a strong Scottish accent is to actually bring back Fraser Hines. That would be so cool. Just in a one-off episode. That. Yeah.
Well, I kind of already said, here's my wish list for our next companion, and we can kind of go through this for everybody. My wish list for the next companion, somebody from the past, or somebody from another time, I'll put it that way. Somebody from another time, an alien, or a dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yep.
One of those three or all three, and I said – and it was the thing I threw out – probably we threw out at Dragon Con where I said, you know, I'd like a Frobisher voice by you, Laurie. That's
– Right. And the thing is I think, if anything, Capaldi can handle – well, he had a really cool thing with, you know, the engineer guy from the
– Yeah.
You know, Frank Skinner.
Yeah,
I think me and Frank Skinner and like four other people would have been damn happy if that guy had gotten.
Yes, but you know what? It's really cool when the guy's like, no, this.
Did you guys see the extra
people?
Did you guys see the extra thing where Frank Skinner was saying, "Listen, I was trying to get to the director, going, can we just do another take where I say yes?"
No. Oh wow. Wow, because he would have been great.
Yeah.
I like the rumor that Rob told me. I want that rumor to be true.
Which one?
You know what I'm talking about, Rob.
Yes, that one.
You're
yes.
Fucking with me.
About the Christmas special.
Yeah. It's not going to come true. Santa's not going to bring me what I want, which is Nick Frost as a companion.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That'd be fun.
Exactly.
I mean, the doctor would be – that doctor would be great with a bumbling oof kind of as a companion.
Well, I wouldn't even want him to be a bumbling, you know, goofball.
But that's how they'd write him.
Unfortunately, that's how they'd write him. But I'm like, I would just be fine with having somebody along who is not comic relief and who is not a pseudo love interest and who is just a companion. Just something different.
Well, that's where I like the Pertwee years because you had so many different elements regularly. You had the Brigadier, which would have been great for the whole Capaldi and bringing, you know, the Brigadier's daughter in on this, and she's here only on the last, you know, episode. It's not fair. But I mean, they had the reoccurring unit guys. And they could have easily have done this with with Capaldi.
Yeah. And we might be seeing units starting to do more.
Oh, we say that every year. We say this every year.
Yes, yes, but every year we have – but now we've got Capaldi wanting to do a little more with the part. So he really wants it to be old school. So
That'd be nice. That'd be fun.
As long as we get the Brigadier's daughter, because she's cool. She's
great, isn't she?
She is, yeah.
So seriously, if you guys had a wish list for a companion, what would it be?
Her. No, you know what? I would like to see somebody from the past.
Yeah.
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 Unfortunately, they sort of botched what I wanted, which was, I liked the idea of having Clara turn out to be the Tesselector, which basically meant not only is the Clara character in some way smarter than the Doctor, which is a nice change of pace from what I've seen anyway, but it seemed like a perfect fit that since he didn't want to endanger anyone else, if he had someone along for the ride who is basically indestructible, then it was like she could listen. She could literally say, "Listen, you're not going to be able to hurt me. This is me. So let's go do this." And that to me would have been an interesting dynamic in that someone who is basically, and because she's basically an android who can change shape, it's like it's a perfect thing for. In some ways, she's the Doctor's equal.
Yeah.
So to me, that would be interesting beyond, which is what I've seen, which even her character has turned into, oh, the Doctor is the Doctor, and I'm just along for the ride, which I'm like, that to me is sort of boring. I'm like, I would – so I like the idea of doing someone from the past or from the future, but I would want to see someone who is a match for the Doctor rather than just his audience.
Well, the other thing about getting somebody from another time is that you don't have to take them back.
Well, you don't have to take anybody back. I mean, you could just.
Well, no, but the thing where we've gotten to the point with Amy and Rory and Clara, where we drop them back off to have their life, and then you go back and get them. That's not how it works.
No, because it didn't work with Sarah Jane Smith.
That's not how it works. You get in the TARDIS, you stay in the TARDIS. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Well, what you need is somebody who can't go back. Not even you could return them. Not even you can't, because you could still return them to their regular time. You need somebody who is like the last of their kind. That's what you need. You need someone who can empathize with the Doctor, because his whole thing is, well, I'm the last of my kind. Well, guess what? So am fucking I. Cry me a goddamn river. I want somebody to say that to him.
You want somebody to give him the rocket speech.
Basically.
Yeah.
I want basically somebody to read him the riot act. No, seriously.
People die all the time.
Yeah, it's like, it's no, seriously. I want somebody who, instead, because as cool as Amy was, she was for the most part still an audience.
Yeah.
And Clara is definitely an audience. She has been reduced to what I've seen as an audience.
Yeah.
And I want someone who is not, I want someone who's there to serve the purpose of more than someone for the Doctor to talk to, because he needs to deliver exposition to someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to me what the companion should be about.
Well, again, I really, really, and Kim is more on the Donna thing than I am, but Kim really liked Donna.
I love Donna. Well, I said that even with Runaway Bride, I said that.
Yeah, she was really well written, and Catherine Tate had enough clout to do whatever the hell she wanted.
Yeah, and really, Kim is just hoping the thing that his face is telling him is he just needs to go back and fix Donna.
Yes. Yeah.
I know it's stupid.
Oh,
but come
you
on.
Know what? Actually, you know what would be cool is if Missy got a hold of Donna and fixed her,
that's
Donna evil.
About. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get her in a regular episode.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
What is Catherine Tate doing anyway? What is she doing?
She's got a show, I think.
She was doing. I mean, she did theater. She did some stuff with Tennant.
With Tennant.
Hang on.
She's got a sitcom that's coming out.
I would love a companion.
Big School is what you're thinking of, right?
I would love a companion on the lines of Winifred.
Okay, but it has been renewed. But again, it was how many? Yeah, it was basically what? It's been, well, let's see. No, it was renewed for a second series. I don't see it having been renewed for a third series. But again, it's 6 episodes a series. So she could very, oh, this is David Walliams. Why am I not watching this? Basically,
no,
I don't know. What the fuck? But basically, I mean, that's the whole, that's what I love about UK television is that it's not like you're trapped in a series and you can never do anything else. You might be able to sneak in a small independent film during your off month, you know?
Apparently, right. Except if you're doing Midsummer Murders, because those damn things, they're working on that thing all the time.
Oh, my God. David Walliams, Philip Glenister, and Francis de la Tour? What the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, when are we are we getting more Vicious? Has Vicious been renewed? It has! Hey!
Yeah, there was a PBS. PBS picked it up, and that's kind of what's giving it a second season, is the fact that PBS picked it up. So,
if anyone who is not watching Vicious, fuck you. Watch Vicious.
Yeah, watch Vicious.
It's amazing. Oh, it's that makes me happy.
It's just so great. And the fact that Derek Jacobi does Vicious half the year and then does Last Tango in Halifax the rest of the year is just remarkable.
No, just I swear to God, watch the first episode, to anyone who hasn't seen it, watch the first episode of Vicious. And if you aren't blown away by watching McKellen, Jacobi, and Francis de la Tour in a sitcom, not blowing out a sitcom, but just literally doing a sitcom. If that doesn't blow your mind, then I don't understand you at all. That's what I say to people who haven't watched it.
Don't you know that there's old dead actors just going, oh, why couldn't we look like Orson Welles? I could have been in a sitcom.
With like Alec Guinness and David Niven, you know?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They could do like, you know, they could Alan Moore it, like, you know, Vicious 1961, you know?
I would read that graphic novel. I would read the shit out of that graphic novel.
What you just wrote?
Yes.
You're fucking kidding me.
What? No, but it's a lot of money.
What?
Well, it would be, because how many projects does he have to turn down?
But the thing is, and so is Shatner, and so is everybody else.
Yeah, I know.
So?
I know.
Oh, my God. Damn it. Crazy, Rob. Don't do stuff like that on this podcast.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Nice. Yes, dear.
Oh, my God. So who would play Francis de la Tour's character in Vicious 1963?
Oh.
Who is no longer with us. They have to not be with us anymore. Who would that be? Because at first I was like, oh, Maggie Smith, but Maggie Smith luckily is still with us.
Do they necessarily have to be younger at the time?
British. Oh, Margaret Rutherford.
Yes.
Yes, for the win. She played Miss Marple 3 times.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. For the win.
Well done.
Yes. So the other two would be,
No, David Niven and Alec Guinness.
Alec Guinness, yes, yes. Margaret Rutherford would be great. Either that or on a limb, Elsa Lanchester. I think she can do it.
True. And now, here's the great bit.
Well, look, she did really well with a witness for the prosecution. Yeah, she can do it.
Let's see. Hang on. Now, let me see. How old is he? 63. No. And the guy playing, what's his face? I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name, but Ewan Rheon, the neighbor, the young guy.
Yeah.
So he's Ramsay Bolton. I'm convinced that he's torturing Theon in the basement of that building.
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh, for his character in the 60s reboot, it would be David McCallum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which means Sally Draper would be a fan right off.
That's you just about nailed it. David McCallum was 30 in 1963, and Ewan Rheon is, again, I'm butchering his name, is 29. So, yeah, you totally nailed it.
You know,
Oh my God, you could also do that show really well with Patrick McNee and Roger Moore.
Wow.
Wow. They would, yeah.
Oh, no, wait. In the 60s version, you wouldn't use David McCallum. You could use Dudley Moore.
Wow.
I would stick with David McCallum.
But you'd have to do it with Dudley Moore and Peter Cook.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You'd have to do it. Everybody would just lump it into the sketch com. So.
Yeah, and he's not, and they weren't old enough in 63 is the problem.
Yeah, that's true. And then the old neighbor that doesn't like anything that's always over there. The one guy who's like, oh, why am I here? I'm not friends with the store, but the other neighbor guy. Yeah.
Oh, friend. Oh,
yeah. Friend, yeah.
Yeah, that guy would be Michael Caine.
But it's 63, though. He's not old enough in 63.
Oh, no, that would be Michael Horden.
Yeah.
Because he was...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Christ. Yes, because he was not even young playing against Alistair Sim.
He was 52 in 1963, so there that
works. There you go, yes.
You could age him up a little bit, but there's somebody...
Oh, he always looked old, though. It didn't matter.
No, he does. He's one of those quintessential, ageless actors.
Wilfred Hyde-White, then.
Well, I was going to say, if not for Doctor Who, you could go with Hartnell.
Or
I like Wilfred Hyde-White.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, oh, shit.
Because he's played bastards in other shows.
Who am I thinking of? It's not...
No, half of it. You know, everybody that we've talked, listeners, you have to use, IMDb for all the people we've mentioned.
Or Netflix.
Or Netflix, yeah.
Hey, Rox?
Yes.
Who's the guy in Are We Being Served that's really, really flamboyant?
He's dead. What is his name?
But that guy would be good with, like, Spike Milligan or something.
John Inman.
Inman, yes.
The problem with Spike Milligan is I don't know that Milligan could exist in a scripted format. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Everything I've seen of his is just completely out of control. Now, the other thing, though, again, another actor who always looked old, Peter Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You could also do it with Nigel Hawthorne.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He'd be fun. And, yeah, I'd have to think of the other guy. But Nigel Hawthorne would be good, too.
Fascinating.
Yes, I know.
God. There's some crazy fucking dream casting for you.
Yeah.
So, what's that?
Cushing wouldn't be old enough at the time, Woody.
Actually, Cushing would be great with Nigel Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just haven't really thought of, you know.
With Hawthorne in the McKellen role and Cushing in the Jacoby role.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, Rock, can you imagine just Cushing on the phone every episode opening, talking to his mom?
Oh!
Mother.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it'd be great.
I would go back in time just to live in whatever little seaside village he lives in and just bug him every day.
It'd be great with Paul Darrow. Paul Darrow talking to his mother at the beginning would be so
crazy. Oh my God, he's – why?
Him talking to his father or his mother at the beginning, it would be priceless if it was Paul Darrow.
No, it is – no. Just quit bringing him up.
No, he's great. He's terrible. He's so terrible. He's
so terribly terrible.
Yes, I know.
Good. However, he's just so, you know, he could be so decent as an actor. He's a good actor. It's just he's so full of himself that it's just like.
You know the problem with that actor? He's just too full of himself. He's too full of himself.
I mean,
did you do that show with Richard?
He wears a sandwich board on himself for that. That's the way I see of him.
Could you do that with Richard E. Grant and Tim Curry?
Oh.
Is there a top you can be over with that?
Yes.
Oh, God.
How can you find the top? Seriously.
yeah. It takes some doing, but it's possible.
We watched Clue the other night, though.
Everybody watched
Clue. Well, no, I think Kim saw Clue for the first time.
No way!
Oh, my God.
I've not seen it all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah, Kim watched it the other night.
What'd she think of it?
She liked it.
Of course she did. She has taste.
She does.
So now the thing, if she hasn't seen Murder by Death, you got to show her Murder by Death.
I think she has seen Murder by Death.
Because Murder by Death and Clue, to me, is the ultimate doubleheader.
Yeah.
And what got her on that is that she's been doing like 2 weeks of, 2.5 weeks of Midsummer Murders.
Co-workers, friends, people she doesn't like.
Nice.
See, it started out slowly. She started out with Poirot, and then a couple of Miss Marples. But okay. It's been like
Is she watching Death at Pemberley?
Death Comes to Pemberley? Yeah. I don't think we've started to get that yet. I can get it, though.
I it's on my DVR, and I saw that, and I thought of Kim. I never got around to reading P.D. James's book.
Yeah, a cassette read it. She's a big Pride and Prejudice fan, and she did not care for it. She listened to the audiobook. She was very disappointed.
It's...
You know, Kim started watching Forever.
Oh, I tried watching that. I watched.
She really likes that, apparently.
Well, she likes that Owen Ian.
Yeah, she does.
Whatever.
That has a lot to do with it, but she actually really does like that show. Yeah.
It's an interesting premise. It's a guy who dies. However, he winds up always landing in water, but he remembers the death.
It's kind of like Quincy meets the Highlander.
Oh, no! You just ruined Quincy for me. God.
Yes. Okay, wait. Is it the image of Jack Klugman waking up naked in the Hudson? Is that what that is?
Oh, my God. You could
thank you, Internet.
Oh, my God. So some guy came up with a sort of song for the Quincy thing, and it was like, you know, it was poison. You could do that for that forever. I was murdered.
It was
poison.
It is literally Quincy meets the Highlander.
Yeah.
It's just...
Take me down to who? What was that guy's? What was his character on Taxi?
Oh God, I have no idea.
What's his name's in it?
Christopher Lloyd, Tony Danza.
No, the Jewish guy.
Oh God, Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch, yeah. Take me down to Judd. He will cut me open. He will, yeah. They can redo that song. It's an interesting premise. I do. There
it's all fun and games until Christopher Lambert shows up in a guest spot. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah. But here's an interesting take though, Widge. There's a spoiler for anyone that wants to watch this show. This character actually grabs a guy and they jump off the roof and
they land on a car.
And they land on a car and he disappears because he went and's up in the East River. He always does that. Magically.
The body disappears.
Yeah, the body disappears. Except for the guy, you know. But they used one of my cars from my car lot.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, we should probably mosey towards recommendations.
All right, I need a Kickstarter to start my car lot.
I'd like to recommend the Cadillac Brougham.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I like Regals.
Oh, really?
Because you can drive them illegal.
Well, see, you have to get mid '70s Regals because when you start to get to the late '70s Regals, like the '78, '79, they shrunk the roof.
Yeah.
So they're not good for like throwing bodies on. So
no,
you want the big long ones.
Yes, you do. Oh my gosh. I had a friend that had one and I almost bought it from her because it was just oh my god, it was this maroon color. It was just like a drug dealer car all over it. And I'm like, and it drove like an Oldsmobile. It's like that smooth ride and everything. Yeah. And I'm sure a body would bounce on it.
I want to see the, Rocks, if what we do is we shoot a commercial for your used car lot, and then we shoot a commercial for your new cars, and we show the testing where a crash test dummy is dropped from a height repeatedly onto a roof to test the crumpability of the roof. I think that's important.
Yes, it is. It's very important.
All right, so who wants to go first?
Tuffley does.
Go, Tuffley. Yep.
Ben here. Do I? I think I recommend.
And that's your introduction, Tuffley.
Oh, hey, internet, how you doing?
Hey, you know who we are.
I think I recommended the Johnny Marr record. Did I recommend the Johnny Marr record before?
I think you did, but feel free to do it again.
Sure, Playland from Johnny Marr. Oh, and I may be stealing a recommendation from someone who isn't Rob, but Sonic Highways from Foo Fighters is out next Tuesday. So
they've been everywhere.
There's that. What else? Is the Floyd record next week, or is it the week after?
I think it's next week.
Is it next week, too?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious about that one.
How curious are you?
How curious am I?
Sorry.
Let's see. It apparently it's pre-sold like fucking crazy, apparently, is what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Date. Yes, you're absolutely right. Next week, Endless River. So is that the extent of your recommendations, Tuffley? Did we lose Tuffley? We lost Tuffley. He dropped off. He's like, drop the mic, and he's gone. All right. Well, hopefully he'll come back. If not, let's move on. Who's next? Go, Rob. Oh, wait. No, okay. Tuffley. Wait, no, okay. Tuffley. Okay. Tuffley came back. Oh. Tuffley, was that the extent of your recommendations? We lost you for a second. Or maybe he's not completely back yet.
I don't know.
So, Rob, go ahead and get started. We can come back to him if he has more.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to start off with recommending the brand new CD, Seeds of Mild Peril, by the Scaramanga Six, friends of the podcast. It's basically a bunch of live sessions that they did, and it's all on a double CD, and it's quite good, so I recommend that. Also, this really fun thing called The Best Day, which is the new Thurston Moore record from Sonic Youth, and Deb Googe from My Bloody Valentine plays on it as well, so I want to recommend that. And then the book I want to recommend, which I think Rox knows about, there's actually two of them. Peter Ackroyd is writing these multi-volume histories of England. And the first one was all England up to the Tudors. The second one was just the Tudors. And now this one covers Glorious Revolution, James I, and that's the new volume of that one. So I do want to recommend that. At the same time, because he can't do enough, he has a new biography of Charlie Chaplin out as well.
Wow.
Yeah. I got it from the library, and it's been quite good. It's about 300 pages. It's pretty condensed, but you get everything without a whole lot of pandering or screwing around as well. And then finally, I want to champion the little guy for a little bit. Some friends of mine in England made a film, and it showed at the festival here last year, called Common People. And it did star Sam Kelly, who was in Hello, Hello a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it's a really charming sort of English film, basically about a group of strangers that meet in an English common or English park, and wacky adventures ensue. We'll just put it that way. And it's available now on iTunes and different streaming services, so I do want to recommend that, but it's called Common People. So I want to recommend that. And also, if you can get a chance to get up to Chicago before January 4th, the David Bowie exhibit that has toured Europe is at the Chicago Contemporary Art Museum.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Hello?
I I know. No, she's I'm shocked. Is that the one that Tilda Swinton did a little thing for? Is that it or no? Okay.
Yeah, it was the V&A, and it was at it was in Berlin, and it was
Wow.
It's the only American place that's going.
Oh.
I know.
Wow.
I gotta
figure out. Are you going?
Yeah, we're gonna try to go up and see it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, although I feel bad because I know Tuffley would want to see it.
So. No, don't feel bad.
Okay, I won't.
I keep getting kicked off the internet because I said I was curious about the Floyd album, so that's how my luck's running.
Well, you know, maybe it's you too.
I know.
But, yeah, that's it for me, Widge.
Okay. All right, Tuffley, did you have anything else? Did we lose him again?
I don't know.
I think we lost him again. All right, Rox, what have you got?
All I got is The Village Effect by Susan Pinker. I stumbled upon this when I wrote my little letter to my village, of which sociologists have said that 150 people is the most amount of people one person can deal with. And that is relatively the size of a small village. And this woman...
Unless you live in Midsummer.
Unless you live in Midsummer, and then you're screwed. Oh, my God, yes, I should say...
You keep adding and subtracting.
Yeah, I need to amend that somehow. But most of the people that, you know, I wrote to really are not Midsummer murder folk. Anyway, she deals with... the effects of actually knowing people face to face, how it makes you healthier and all that crazy stuff, gives you a better outlook. And, you know, eventually somebody will, you know, make sure they check up on you when you're older and stuff. So it's a good thing to have. I kind of stumbled upon this after I wrote my little thank you letter, that you can see on my Facebook, which means you guys too, all of our listeners and stuff, if I didn't mention your profession or something, it just, you know, let me know what you guys do and I'll add you to the village, because we just added the San Francisco Giants to my village. They won last week.
Yeah.
Hey,
for your reason, I'm happy. Happy for you for your reasons.
Thank you.
3 and 5 years, though.
I know. But, you know, he had to wait from 1954.
I know.
Where Bobby Thompson did something great.
What did Hal think of Bonds?
Oh, you know, I would ask him every once in a while about that, and he would like skirt the issue. I know.
Games for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. I mean, even when it came down to, you know, when they hired him just to bat, and they would do is walk the man. You know, and then, you know, the whole steroid thing. It's like, well, you know, there's this. What do you think? And
Pittsburgh is just thinking, oh, that could have been ours.
That's right. Yes. So, yes, there was a win on that grim anniversary day. Anyway, also,
interesting.
I'm sure you could get these on Amazon. I will recommend Empty Cigar Boxes.
Hold on.
What?
Is that keeping things?
For real. I'm repainting my bathroom and stuff, and I've been trying to figure out. I have this old medicine cabinet. It's old. I got rid of it, and I tried to figure out what is a cool way of, you know, storing stuff. Cigarette boxes or cigar boxes that I have, oddly enough, too many of. And I made like little shelves for them, and it's stored. I have several on the wall. So, and if you look on Pinterest, people, you well, if you people, if you look on Pinterest, you could see that you could make ukuleles out of cigar boxes. You could make little guitars. So they're handy. And you, and apparently Dindrain makes little portrait coffin things with cigar boxes. So done. And I'll say ding because John's not here.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Rox.
Yep.
So for me, my recommendations, first of all.
Oh, wow. That's a great. Wow. 28. Let's see. 10 cigar boxes from Mike's Cigars for $28 on Amazon, people.
There you go. So you can even get cigar boxes on Amazon. They provide everything.
Yeah.
So for my and John, if John was here, he would remind me. Yes, if you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon, it will take you to the front page of Amazon, like you would go on to the front page of Amazon, except we get kickbacks. So as we move into the holiday buying season, it helps us out a lot if you snag – obviously, if you get a better – for God's sake, if you get a better deal, you don't have to buy everything through Amazon. But – I say buy online because who the hell wants to go out shopping? If you do buy from Amazon, if you buy it through us, then it helps us out quite a bit. So thank you in advance for that. Lots of you do that on an ongoing basis, and it is incredibly helpful. My recommendations, there is a band. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation like I always do. They're an Italian band called Calibro 35. You know them, Rob, of course. They do soundtracks and soundtrack-esque instrumentals. And I just discovered them and their album, which was on my Spotify and I've lost it, called, yes. And again, excuse me to anyone who speaks Italian or is Italian, Trattatore di Tutti. I totally butchered that. I'm horrible in an Olive Garden as well. But that is excellent, and I've greatly enjoyed it.
What was that, Calibro?
Yes, it's Calibro, Calibro 35. So
you don't put salt in your pans either?
No, because, you know, salt, and if by that you mean the Angelina Jolie film, then no. Even though it's nice to watch copies of that melt, but you have to buy them in order to properly melt them, which just puts money in the pocket of that piece of shit film. Now, so I recommend their stuff. Also, coming up, I believe these are both next week. They have released DVD and Blu-ray Synapse films of Demons 1 and 2, the single disc. Obviously, I always recommend deluxe editions, but you know, some of you people are weird and you don't like a lot of features. Some people actually go commentaries. Why? And I don't understand you, but Demons 1 and 2, if you've not seen at least Demons, it is a hell of a lot of fun. And it is what gave me a love for the song Killers on the Attack. And all I can say is any song that is featured in a film in which a guy is on a motorcycle driving through a movie cinema and killing essentially zombies, but really demons, but they're sort of zombies, with a katana blade. I mean, what's there not to like? So I recommend that. And also, finally, the 1960s Batman TV series is hitting. They're doing them in season sets as well, but they're releasing the entire series as a limited edition Blu-ray set, and that is coming out next week. It is not cheap, but I mean, come on. You get, well, I think we talked about this last episode. You get Cesar Romero, you get Eartha Kitt, you get Julie Newmar, you
My
get
God.
Vincent Price. Yeah.
Liberace plays two roles.
Yes. So there is
and
so
I had
much
a cameo.
What's that?
Really? What's that? Who had a cameo?
Yeah, there's a cameo with Lou with the building, and they look into his apartment. And he's playing the piano.
Oh yes, with the classic climbing up the building.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Rudy Valley! Rudy Valley's in it!
Well, and Sammy Davis Jr., I think, makes an appearance.
Isn't Cliff Robertson in it?
Yes!
Yeah, Cliff Robertson, too.
Yes, the mob barker. Yes! Yeah.
Yeah, so much goodness. So much goodness. So I definitely recommend that. And like I said, pricey, but totally worth it. So yeah, that does it for me. And I think does it for this episode of Weekend Justice. And I think if, you know, as we reach the end of another episode of Weekend Justice, pretty much like we do every week, as we sort of recover from the GabFest that has happened, we all take a moment to stare at our feet in somewhat shame and simply say, vicious.
Vicious.
I have no shame.
I said somewhat.
I'll have somewhat.
But Rox, you can fake it with conviction.
Vicious, then.
You can you can shamelessly fake shame.
Oh, that's hard, honey.
But if anyone can do it, Rox, if anyone can do it, Rox.
I'll try.
Wow, that was like a Carol Lawrence skit.
Can you do shame? Real? I don't know. Yeah. That's hard.
I know, but there you go.
How does that work?
Badly.
I don't know, Rox. I don't know. I'm sure you'll get your best people on it, though.
Yeah, I can do self-deprecating, but, you know, shame. It was, oh my God, okay, so yeah, so my neighbors had a very amateur Halloween party. You know, the kind of party that ends in crying and wailing.
Okay.
At 1 a.m.
Wails or wailing like banshees?
Wailing like a banshee because somebody threw up in her bed.
Wow.
Did you throw up and run again?
No, but it was 1 a.m. Now I let it go because it's like, well, you know, the sound ordinance is till 12:30. So I go out in my, you know, John Singer Sargent type, you know, opulent robe, and I'm just standing on the front porch. And this girl's wailing, going, you know, somebody threw up on my, you know, bed, and she dropped her bracelet under the stairs. Now, I know the landlord, and it's not Brian Setzer. So I'm standing there, and I'm helping the Mad Hatter down the stairs. And all of a sudden, she turns to me. She goes, "Who the fuck are you?" I'm like, "I'm your neighbor." Where? I'm like, "The Red House." "What do you want?" I'm like, "It's 1 a.m. However, I know your landlord, and I can get him here tomorrow to save your bracelet. How's that?" So anyway, she wants to argue with me, and her boyfriend's like, "Shut up. She's trying to help." It's like, yeah, you're stupid, girl. Anyway, yeah, it was a very amateur party where there's, you know, throw up on a bed and stuff.
I love the idea. You people aren't professionals. You're not partying like professionals.
No.
Come take my class at the university on professional partying.
Yeah.
That could go in the
Z. Yes, it could. Because the next, you know, later on in the morning, there was a tap on my door, and it's her all hungover and everything, apologizing. I'm like, that's how that's supposed to go.
Like, where's my booze?
Oh, my, yeah, you know what? I didn't say that at one point. I'm like, "I'm your neighbor. What do you got to drink?" And I think that threw her. She wanted me off her porch. I'm like, "You don't own this porch."
Really? You know. I could make one phone call and own this porch.
Yes, pretty much. And, you know, that's why I can't do shame.
But if you cause shame in other people, that could be your field skill.
Yeah, I guess I could, because she had all sorts of shame when she was, like, making that long walk from her apartment to my yard and to the, you know. I'm so sorry for last night. Oh, and I said, well, do you still want me to call Mark and have him come over and get your bracelet? Oh, no, I texted him. I'm like, I can double check. They hate when you're, like, helpful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be helpful, well people.
Well done.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
Wow. So,
yep.
Can we leave now?
Yeah, I think we're done.
I think we've done enough.
We've done enough for one night.
Yeah, there's your, like, little CODA story, kids. That's what you get. It was all legal. Just launching in on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Some people need that.
Well, this is true. Yeah. 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 I guess. I don't watch the show. But, yeah.
But partly the reason is because, Rox, you would just grade Hydra. You would talk about all the shit they're doing wrong.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, that's like the following. Yes, anytime. Yes.
You know who should – there's no way they could do it. But you know who they should have made somehow be in S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Who?
Joe Friday.
Who?
Joe Friday.
Okay.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like Dragnet is nothing but a Hydra front. Him and Harry Morgan, they go out and
write about it.
Oh wait, no, oh my God, even better. It's like the Untouchables. You find out that Capone was Hydra, and like only the Untouchables are actually working for the Straight and Narrow and have to go take down Hydra.
Wow.
See, everything is Hydra. I think everything is Hydra. In fact, you know what? Raisins and cookies, Hydra. Because they look like chocolate chips. They look like chocolate chips, the little fucking things. And then you take a bite and you go, oh, what is this?
All right, what about what about the plate, Raisin in the Sun?
Oh, no, that's fine. Now, if it had been billed as Chocolate Chip in the Sun, and then you had gone to watch it, and what the fuck is this? And it had been filled with claymation California raisins in the rolls, then I would have been really pissed.
Now I'm trying to think of all classic films that could have Hydra in.
Now, what about Driving Miss Daisy, where Morgan Freeman's Jessica Tandy, who's like a retired S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Marvel's Agent Daisy.
Hulk? Hulk?
Oh, God.
Where are you, Hulk?
Bring
me my mint julep, Hulk. And did you get the bodies out of the car? Did you get the bodies out of the car, Hulk?
Wow.
Damn that
whole podcast drafting room with rocks and voices.
I know. Time to go.
Okay. Let's run away now.
All right. Oh, how does
Boutel they can
turn
do
this off? We can't leave. Boutel's not here.
No, but he's remotely. He's got his cybernetic implant.
Okay.
At least that's what he told me.
All right.
Okay. Bye. Bye, guys. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
And here's Dakota.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Hello?
Oh, that's hard, honey.